His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again from right here in the hails and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege, a joy, and an honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. And I welcome you all. I'm not going to host tonight. Kwali gets to get a break tonight. Give me a break to go with a side of lettuce and tomatoes. I get to take a break tonight. But we're talking about the senseless murder of our brother. And is it open season on the young black male? That's our topic for tonight. Is it open season on the young black male tonight? So we'll be joined by our host, who is a journalist, a blogger. The man is all over the place in terms of getting the scoop, in terms of getting the underlying information that the media will not tell you, and that, well, I should say mainstream, that the mainstream media won't tell you, and he's good at reporting the facts. This black man reports the facts. And so our host tonight will be our brother from Your Black World, Brother Deshaun Farad. I want to pull him in right now. I'm going to kick back and kick my feet up and get me a nice old lemonade and enjoy the show with you, brothers and sisters. But that is the topic tonight. Is it open season on the young black male? And so I want to try to find my brother's number right now and pull him on in. Let me see. Is this brother Deshaun Farad at area code 862-520 Black Power?
Yes, this is Deshaun Farad. How are you doing, brother Sean?
Doing fine, brother Farad. It's your show now, my brother. I'm turning the wheel over to you, sir. And if anybody calls in, I'll let you know. But welcome back to Black Power Radio, brother. It's good to be season on the young black male. Go right ahead, sir.
Well, it's good to be back, my friend. Sorry for the slight delay. We had to set up how I was going to call in. I just got off the phone with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and I was supposed to text the number to him for him to text to you, but I'm very thankful to be allowed to guest host tonight. This is a very pertinent issue, a very crucial issue, this issue of black men, well, people of African descent being under attack, but specifically men of African descent, black men being attacked. Two Saturdays ago, 17-year-old Jordan Davis was killed in Florida by a 45-year-old white man by the name of Michael Dunn, who's claiming self-defense as well as stand your ground. So what I did was, just to let you know, the first time I heard of the story, it was last Thursday. I happened to be in a restaurant, and I'm watching CNN, and it flashed across the screen, 17-year-old young man killed. And then as soon as they said, shooter is claiming self-defense. I said, oh, it's another Trayvon Martin case. And then ironically, I asked the woman sitting next to me, I said, ma'am, is this in Florida? She started nodding her head. And that's how I knew it was another black man being unjustly taken down. But I wrote a commentary on Your Black World, which you can actually read. But I'm going to read it tonight. Tonight we're going to be discussing this, as well as other instances of police brutality, law enforcement brutality, and black folks, specifically black men, being shot down by self-styled vigilantes or self-appointed vigilantes. But the name of my article is The Death of Jordan Davis, Open Season on Negroes. And here's the article. Do you remember that old episode of the Looney Tunes cartoon where Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck were both trying to convince Elmer Fudd that it wasn't their season to be hunted? Bugs kept shouting, it's duck season, and Daffy kept shouting, no, it's rabbit season. Today in the 21st century, a young black man can be inserted in the modern version of that cartoon. Instead, he'd be shouting, no, it's duck, rabbit, deer, bear, lion, giraffe, anyone or anything seasoned but me. This is the sad reality that young black men in America are smacked by constantly, even while the black man occupies the White House. I'm very angry and fired up at the recent death of 17-year-old black male Jordan Davis, who was recently shot dead in Florida by Michael Dunn, a 45-year-old white man claiming self-defense. Sound familiar? And so with this killing, as well as the deaths of Sean Bell, Ramali Graham, Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, and many others, I'm compelled to ask, is it open season on Negroes? We rarely hear of young white or Asian men being shot down in self-defense. Is it because young white and Asian men don't commit crimes or end up at the wrong place at the wrong time? Or does it have to do more with the fact that men from these communities are not seen as menaces to society? Now, just as a side note to those of you who are tuning in, yes, I am a journalist. And you might say, well, Dashaun, I thought journalists are supposed to be impartial. Yes, I'm supposed to be impartial when I'm reporting the news. But if I'm offering a commentary, I have a right to be opinionated. Back to the article. As in the case of George Zimmerman, who shot and killed a black teenager, Trayvon Martin, Dunn is claiming that he killed Davis because he felt his life was threatened. He told police that Davis was in a car full of teenagers parked adjacent to his car in a parking lot as he waited for his girlfriend. He told police that they were playing loud music and that he told them to turn it down. This was two Saturdays ago, once again. He went on to say that as a result of him telling them to turn down the music, words were exchanged between himself and Davis, and that one of the teens acted as if they were about to get out of the car to assault him. Dunn also claimed that he saw a gun being flashed in the window. Keep in mind that police said that a gun was found nowhere in the vehicle. As a result of being in fear of his life, Dunn claims he drew his gun and fired 8 to 9 shots at Davis, who was in the back seat, leaving him dead. Dunn and his girlfriend rushed away from the scene of the killing in a hot flash, claiming that he thought the black teens were gang-affiliated and thought he would be the victim of retaliation. I bet he did. He later told police that threats were being made towards him from the teen's car. Dunn was arrested at his home that same day. Now, before you all start coming at me with the usual pitch, well, black people kill each other more than anyone else does, how can we never complain about that? Allow me to first begin by saying that, yes, the issue of black self-genocide is horrific and should be aggressively dealt with as it is plaguing the entire country. But I believe that a more pertinent question we should be asking is, what is it about black life that causes folks outside and inside of our community to feel that it's all right to kill us? What is it about black life that causes law enforcement officers and self-styled vigilantes to end it without hesitation or even remorse? Is black life, specifically that of black males, seen as valueless? In these past and more recent cases of young black men being killed or assaulted by whites, white men in particular, the same excuse is usually made, i.e., quote, I felt threatened, or I thought my life was in danger, end quote. This is all quite ironic, since black folks as a whole don't have a history of killing white folks. Once again, as some folks say, black folks kill each other most of the time. So the whole I feel threatened attitude goes out the window. What would happen if young white men begin being murdered by black law enforcement officers, or even by white law enforcement officers, or by black or white self-appointed vigilantes? Would it be justified the way that the deaths of young black men are? such cases involving individuals like Michael Dunn caused me to ask myself if Dr. Frances Quest Wilson was correct when she asserted in her book, The ISIS Papers, that white males are subconsciously and consciously in fear of black men. We must ask ourselves, what is it about black manhood that is seen as so horrific by many folks to the degree that it could cost a young black man his life? I feel it is important to study the pathology of white male supremacy as it relates to how black males are treated in society. If not, we can expect to see the murders of more and more black men taking place. The end for that article. Now, Brother Sean and two members of our listening audience, a colleague and a friend of mine by the name of Gary, and a mentor of mine by the name of Gary Anthony Ramsey, he's a reporter for Press TV. That's out of Iran, but they have offices here in America. During the summer, he did a report concerning the amount of African-American men who have been killed while President Obama has been in the White House. Now, he was not at all blaming President Obama, but he was just mentioning how it was quite ironic that a black man sitting at the head of the most powerful government in the world, now black men are being killed the most under his tenure. He mentioned Trayvon Martin. He mentioned others who have been killed since he's taken office. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it about black men that people feel that they can just kill young black men wholesale before and after President Obama, but now under President Obama? And I mentioned Gary Anthony Ramsey's report because I can remember in 2008 and even November 2008 and even this past election day, black folks were jumping up and down crying, oh my goodness, racism is over, oh my goodness, white supremacy is over, et cetera, et cetera. But what we have to keep in mind is that a few folks in the White House, a few black folks in the White House, or a black president does not mean that the masses are going to be set free. We have to ask ourselves the question of why is this so? So tonight we're going to be taking your calls at 646-478-4447. That is at 646-478-4447. Tonight we'll be discussing once again the death of Jordan Davis, open season on black men, but not just his case, but the case of other black men and black people in general, but specifically black men who have been shot down by law enforcement officers, who have been shot down by self-styled vigilantes. We even have cases of black police officers assaulting black men. In East Orange, New Jersey, you have the 2009 case of Jackie Graham, who was killed, it was 2009, July 4th weekend, he was killed in an East Orange police precinct. Now, this is the story with Jackie Graham. He had got arrested on July 4th. I believe that was on a Friday or on a Saturday. Friday. He was arrested for public intoxication. By Monday, they walked in the cell and found his body stripped naked, and he was dead. Okay? Now, mind you, East Orange, New Jersey is a predominantly black community, just like North New Jersey. We have instances in North New Jersey of black men being assaulted by black officers. In fact, in East Orange, New Jersey, that's where Officer DeLacy Davis, former Sergeant Officer DeLacy Davis, had founded Black Cops Against Police Brutality. Now, what Black Cops Against Brutality is, that's an organization that was started by African-American police officers in New Jersey and different parts of the country who were rebelling against the racism and the self-hatred of their precincts. And this is what we are dealing with. We are dealing with now the wholesale killing of black men. So we want to ask tonight, what is behind this? So once again, you may give us a call at 646-478-4447. Now, in my article, I had mentioned the pathology of white male supremacy. Now, what is that? In psychology, whenever someone has a pathology, that means that they're prone to do something. When they say that someone is a pathological liar, a pathological thief, it means that they are impelled to do something. When I asked the question, or when I recommended that we study the pathology of white male supremacy, I'm asking the question, what is it about young black men that so many white men in power feel threatened? Look at how President Obama has been treated. Now, I'm not at all saying that I agree with everything that President Obama has done. I'm one of his biggest critics. However, look at how he's been treated with all the monkey comments, the witch doctor comments, how they're going at his wife. Even though this man is now with the head of government, he is still being subjected to all types of racial animus, all types of racial bias. So that's why we have to ask the question now, what is it about that? Dr. Frances Quest Wilson said that the reason why whites in power behave the way they do specifically towards black men is because of a fear of genetic annihilation. Is there any validity to this? Now, before you start accusing us of being paranoid, please keep in mind that black people and other non-whites are not the only victims of white male supremacy or white supremacy in general. When Adolf Hitler was exterminating Jews and gypsies and homosexuals and those who were mentally retarded, Hitler was practicing a form of white supremacy. In other words, he said that he was doing what he was doing to purify the white race. So as a result, white people have also been the victims of white supremacy. So before you start coming at us saying that we're being paranoid, please keep in mind that although blacks specifically have been the main targets of white supremacy, we're not the only ones of white supremacy. So give us a call tonight at 646-478-4447. Brother Sean, do you have anything you want to add?
No, sir, my brother. I want to go right to the phone lines and let them entertain. Let's entertain their questions and hear your answers. We'll start with the first caller here, area code 904-705. Please listen to your area code so you know when you're up. 904-705, you're on the air with our host, Deshaun Farad. Black Power Radio is an open season on the young black male. Black Power.
Black Power, Freedom of Delph. How you doing, Brother Sean and Brother Deshaun Farad?
We're doing quite well. Welcome to the show, my friend.
This is Minister Mikhail Muhammad from the Jacksonville, Florida chapter of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense.
Yes, Mikhail, we're sure that you're on the case. What's going on down there with the situation? Have you been in contact with Brother Jordan's family?
Yes, sir. I've met them on several occasions. I've spoken with them, and tomorrow we're to have a private meeting, me and Brother James Muhammad. Right now, brother, it's a very serious case. It shows that the Trayvon Martin mentality is in existence in white America. There's a fear of the black male, and so there's open season on all black men at this present time. So it calls for our unity at this present time.
I want to know now, if you would, Mikhail, can you please kind of give us a snapshot of how, and I hate to ask this question, but it might be considered a silly question, but I must know, right now, what is the mindset of Jordan's parents right about now? Because I know the father said last week that God will take care of this, but still, I have to know what's going through their minds right now.
Well, of course, losing their young loved one in a case like that, they're hurt, they're upset. But being people of God, we always forgive our enemies. And so there's a forgiveness tone right now with Jordan Davis' family. But we're saying to the family, we will support you, stand behind you, but we're calling on justice in this case and nothing less than justice. We'll do.
Now, you know, Michael Dunn's lawyer had stated from the get-go, she said that more than likely her client would claim the stand your ground law, and that's exactly what he's standing by. Now, what I have to know is, now, a lot of folks have asked, what is it about Florida? Because you had other situations before and after Trayvon. What is it about Florida that, you know, I mean, Florida seems to be a unique state, specifically as it pertains to black men. What's, you know, you're on the ground there.
What's the conservative mentality? It's the mentality of niggas stand your place, don't question my authority. And so you have a young generation of black youth that doesn't have the fear like we did in our past time, and so they're challenging white supremacy. And so because of that, it's unraveling the mind of the white male. We call it white supremacy anxiety disorder. So the white man suffers from an anxiety, the fear of black youth today.
So what I'm saying is that, though, now what I'm saying is this, though, now, a lot of folks want to know, so you're saying that that's specifically the dominant mentality in Florida?
Yes, sir, definitely. Right after this incident, me and some of the brothers went out to the gas station. We did a protest. We spoke to several members of the black community that appreciated us coming on board to stand up and speak out. Right after, there was white policemen that showed up. They wanted us to leave the scene. It got intense. They had to call for backup. Zone commander came in. He knew me personally. He took the other officers away. Their position was, we don't want the Black Panther Party in this side of town. This is a upper middle class area of North Jacksonville, on the south side of Jacksonville. It's in the northern part of Bay Meadows. And so they were saying that, nigga, it's okay to be on the north side. It's okay to be on the east side, west side. But when you come over here in the white folks' area, we're going to challenge you. And so that was an attempt, you know, to discourage us from protesting and speaking out, but we held the ground. So there's a conservative mentality right now. They're angry about Obama. We had a case where right after Obama was elected, they had a dummy with Obama's head on it, and they set a fire at a gas station. So Florida is a conservative state, and we must remember that. So it's open season on the black man, and again, it requires that we stand up, we unite, because these crackers are not going to let us off the hook. They're going to keep the pressure on. And so we may think we got the victory in the Trayvon case. We may think we have the victory with President Obama. But there's a solid majority that says, let's put the niggas back in their place.
Now, Mikhail, I must ask you this, though. This has been on my mind. Now, I heard what you said. Okay, I hear you clearly. But concerning the controversy surrounding Zimmerman, the Zimmerman trial still taking place, do you feel that this instance with Jordan will actually cause a judge to be a little more harsher on Michael Dunn? Like, in other words, you know, Mr. Dunn, the judge might say, Mr. Dunn, look, we just came through a situation not even a year ago like this. What are you doing? Don't you think the judge might place him under the jail?
Well, we would hope so, but we know nothing is guaranteed. Right now, he's charged with second-degree murder, and we're protesting Friday, calling on Angela Corsh, the head state attorney for the District of Jacksonville, to upgrade his charge to first-degree murder. We're also calling for this unknown accomplice to be charged with accessory after the fight because he got in the car to flee with Michael Dunn. So, again, there's a lot of inconsistencies in this case. We need to be proactive. We need to observe what is going on. By no means have we gotten a victory because Michael Dunn is arrested at this time. He's been charged with second-degree murder, but we believe that this is a first-degree murder case.
Okay, well, listen up. This is what I want you to do. Sean, we want to keep – Mikhail, if you could stay on the line. Sean, I wanted to let you know you might be getting – we may be getting a call from possibly from Dr. Boyce Watkins. His area code is going to be 315. That's New York.
Yes, sir.
It might be at 315. We might Dr. Boyce Watkins, you know, he's on television. He's the man that I work for, but he's a professor from Syracuse University, and he does a program reaching out to black men, but he may be calling in. We want to keep Mikhail on the line. Let's get to the other phone lines. Mikhail, please stand by.
Stand by.
All right. Okay, Brother Mikhail, we'll keep you on. We'll look out for Dr. Watkins, who's a friend of ours. Let's go to the next caller here at area code 919-510 on the air with
that Durham, North Carolina.
Sounds like it. You're on the air with your host, Brother Deshaun Farrar. Black Power Radio is an open season on the Young Black Male. Talk to us, Black Power.
Yes.
Black Power.
Yes.
Black Power. This is Minister Najee, National Commander, and also the Deputy National Commander on the line. Yeah.
Najee, how you doing? Go ahead. How you doing,
holding
man?
Line,
give us your take.
Holding the line, maintain this course. See, we got to understand because the whiplash that was taking place now in Florida and last night in Cleveland, Ohio, a young brother and sister was killed. 137 bullet holes shot from Cleveland into East Cleveland, okay? All that was on Facebook. But the stuff in Florida, I put it on there, then with the father in the CNN news, how you could say it wasn't a white and black thing? It's not about race. Your son was just killed, man. How you could say it wasn't about race? And this is why it's time for all the black nationalists, all revolutionary black nationalists, formation. It's time for armed, grassroots, self-defense, patrolling, controlling in our black community. Because this is the year of the bullet or the bomb. And my deputy national commander has something quick to say. Go on, Brother Dabir.
I mean, you said a mouthful, brother. And pretty much, you know, we've been over this. It has intensified. It's not new. The attack on the black male is not new. Crescent Wilson wrote about it. You have Naeem Akbar dealing with the psychology that we're dealing with, the psychosis that we're still in. So these things are not new. However, the attack has intensified. You are dealing with, as the brother mentioned earlier, a pathological demon. And his objective is to destroy, displace, and kill those that may seem like they oppose, you know, his course of action, which is total domination globally. It ain't just in Florida that they killing folks. This is happening globally. But the thing that we're on the line, well, I presume we're on the line to do, is to become collective enforcers of freedom, truth, and justice as it regards these beasts. And so whatever divides us is definitely not more relevant than why and what we need to collectively be unified on. Because regardless of whether I like this brother or that brother, they're coming to kill both of us. And so, you know, whether we may not agree on everything, but we can and must agree that they're going to kill you and I if we don't unify. And so what we need to begin doing, and that's in Florida, Cleveland, and you just had the Kansas City guy, they pressured him into killing himself. He killed his wife, and he killed, now this guy got money, so money is not the problem.
That's right.
There's a psychosis with us, and that we must unify and get over these little divisional tribal thinking that we may have with one another because we don't like this or we don't like that. No, we have a common enemy. So regardless of whether I like what you have on or whether I like what you, how you're operating, if it's against the oppression of the enemy, we must be unified. 2012, they made the prediction in 2012 that there was going to be an explosion. They didn't know, and they linked it to the Mayan calendar and other incidents.
Oh, brother, just real quick, Fabian, just real quick, but listen, you dropping some heavy science. But what I want to do is, since we have other calls, I want to go back to Mikhail real quick. But listen, brothers, you made very good points, but we got to get to these other calls.
Go ahead, Sean, brother.
I got to ask, Brother Mikhail, we have to ask a question since you're on the ground. Are you there with us still?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Mikhail, how would you respond to people? Now, this is whenever black folk are shot down, specifically black men, the statement is always made, or the assertion is that, well, black people kill each other more than anything. Why is it that black folk always choose to get in the uproar whenever somebody white kills us? Speak to that for a few seconds. Do you think that the death of black men has already been justified before it even happens?
Of course, brother. Down here in Florida, right after Jordan was killed, there were many comments from the white community saying that what is the outcry from the Black Panther Party and these other groups? Blacks kill each other every day. There's no bounties, a $10,000 reward being put on. And I just say this to you. When we kill each other, they identify a suspect. They move in to arrest you. If you don't surrender, they come in with the SWAT team. They kill you. They don't give you 44 days for 44 ways and 44 reason excuses to get off. So we say to those in the white community and our people, we must stand up today. We must unite. We must develop militias and self-defense patrols. We no longer can wait on white America, so-called
now,
blind justice.
Now, hold on, Mikhail. Now, you're saying, hold on, if I'm hearing you right, you're saying that when an African-American kills another African-American, that the police move in on the killer quicker than they would if a white person
sir.
Did it?
Definitely, definitely. Yes. Mr. Don was able to leave Jacksonville, go to Satellite Beach, Florida, confer with lawyers, and then surrender himself. Most of the time, we don't have that option, brother. We don't have an opportunity to sit down with lawyers and come up with an alibi, an excuse of why we killed this particular person. And so, again, brother, they're just showing us the mind of white supremacy at its best and
now
also at its worst.
Now, I want to ask you a question, Mikhail, and I was trying to find this. How far away did Michael Dunn flee? The miles. Can you give us an estimate of the miles?
We would say about 150 miles from Jacksonville.
I'm going to be honest with you. The report that I got was that he fled 173 miles away. I just wasn't sure because I didn't.
Right.
I just wasn't sure.
170. It's near Orlando, Florida. Orlando is about 2 hours from Jacksonville.
Okay, because MSNBC was reporting, I believe, yeah, MSNBC was reporting 173 miles away. Okay, so that's to show
right.
that he made an effort. Now, he didn't live 2 hours away, did he?
Yes, he lives in Satellite Beach, Florida. He was visiting Jacksonville. His son had just got married.
Okay, so he did. Okay, yeah. So basically he fleed back home because he said now, once again, that he went to the hotel because he feared that he was going to be taken out.
No, sir. He went to the hotel, got his belongings, and he left town immediately.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Okay, Brother Sean, let's get to the phone lines.
All right, let's move to the next caller here. Thank all the callers for your call. We'll go to area code 917-684. Area code 347-272. Area code 347-272. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. It's an open season on the Young Black Male. Your question, your comment, with your host, Brother Deshaun Farrar, Black Power.
Black Power, my brothers and sisters and all my comrades in the struggle. Deshaun, man, it's good to have you back with us, brother. How you been, man?
I'm quite well. Is this Brother Frank?
Yes, sir. Brother Shaw, Queens, yeah, Brother Frank. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. What's your comment, family? We'd love to hear from. What is your insight? Now, listen up now. You being in New York City now, okay, with Ramali Graham and Sean Bell, give us your take on tonight's subject, okay? Because a lot of folks, we're not just talking about white folk. We're talking about folks within our community who think that we're being paranoid. No, no, black men are being targeted. You know, we have a black president now. Our time has come. We've overcame. Please speak to this issue of black men being targeted. Is it open season on Negroes or black men?
Well, this has been open season since the time we've been brought here to the hells and smells of North America, but it has never stopped. Like one of the brothers from North Carolina was saying, sometimes it intensifies, sometimes we get a little low, but it has continuously been open season on us. They have continuously had a disregard for us. It goes to the Lynch syndrome. As the brother was speaking, they would grab the strongest brother and tie him between two horses going in opposite directions and then slap the horses so that this brother could be ripped apart in front of all the other slaves to try to keep them in line. And that's what they're constantly doing, trying to instill fear in us. It's not a matter that they are so afraid of us, but they want to keep us, the majority of us, in fear of them. They want to make the majority of us feel that things are better. I call that the carrot on the stick syndrome, where they want to think that we're going to get ours tomorrow and things is getting better. And unfortunately, a lot of these Negroes, they go for it. They can't see that it is blatant racism over and over again. Like Brother Mikel down in Florida, they had to deal with Trayvon Martin, and now they got to deal with Jordan. Well, we have five police killings up here this year with Ramali Graham, Wildwin Jackson, Chantel Davis, Polanco. You know, they're gunning us down.
Now, Brother Shaw, I must say, I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish your point. I got to ask you a question. Go ahead, finish your point.
They're gunning us down at will in New York, in Florida, in California, Ohio, wherever they want to. And like you said, it's always the same excuse. They were in fear for their life.
Now, Shaw, I must ask you, now, in 2006, were you in, you know, you, you know, we understand that, you know, you spend a lot of time in Queens. I'm not trying to put your address on blast. Now, were you in Queens in 2006 when Sean Bell was taken out?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because if you remember now, I want to ask you a question. What was your reaction to the fact that some of the officers, I believe it was three officers, two of them were black. Am I correct?
Well, brother, when it comes to the police, unfortunately, man, I see one color. I see blue. It ain't black or it ain't white.
No, no, but there's a point that I'm making because earlier in my commentary I mentioned that you have African-American men being shot down by black officers. That's why I gave the example in East Farmers, New Jersey, of Jackie Graham. But I should have mentioned Sean Bell as well. I mentioned Sean Bell, but I should have mentioned who he was killed by. And my concern is when all these folks say, well, you know, when you see, you know, it's not about race, et cetera, et cetera. I have to ask myself the question, why is it, like I said in my commentary, why is it that Asian and white men are not being shot down? Okay, not just by white police officers, but by non-white police officers. If you notice that we're being shot down by our own relatives, one might say, by some of our distant cousins.
Yes, sir, and that's because we're targeted. You know, they consider all of our neighborhoods our high-impact neighborhoods where they flood our neighborhoods with police, and they're trained to be brutal. You know what I'm saying? Whether they're black or white, they answer to the same oppressor. It doesn't matter if you're a black cop or you're a white cop. You're working for the oppressors. You are brainwashed. I mean, I am sure there's some of these pigs that come into the department really believing that they're going to uphold justice. But after their first year, 2 years of being brainwashed, they're just a pig, brother.
Now, Cheryl, keep in mind too. In all fairness to some of our brothers and sisters who are in the police forces across the country, once again, I mentioned the Lacey Davis of Black Cops Against Police Brutality, but who I forgot to mention was Eric Adams of the Guardians Association.
Eric Adams is a good brother. You know, we got Damon Jones. I'm not going to sit here and bash all law enforcement.
No, I wasn't coming across to that, but that was just for – I knew you weren't coming across to that, but this is just for our audience, that you do have concerned officers that are who have literally been threatened, who's Officer Lacey Davis and Eric Adams, their lives are threatened by other black officers for speaking against the racism and brutality in their departments.
Yes, sir.
If you remember. But listen, Sean, I hate to cut
brother,
you off, but we got to get to these other phone lines. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, my brother. Go ahead, brother. Thank you, Deshaun.
Sean, who else we got on the line?
All right, we have area code 215. Please listen to your area code. Area code 215-554. Area code 215-554. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your host, Brother Deshaun Farad, is an open season on the Young Black Male. Black Power.
Black Power, National Field Marshal, Minister King Samir Shabazz.
Oh, King Samir, how you been, King Samir? Welcome to the show.
What's happening, comrade? Good to have you, Black.
Oh, yes, yes. Listen up now. Listen, I was just in Philly. You know, I just spoke in Philadelphia this past Tuesday. Philadelphia, you all are also off the chain with black men being taken out. What's going on, you know, in the country? You know, why is it, you know, are we correct or are we just tripping when we say it's an open season on black men?
Well, Dashaun, it's something you said earlier, brother, and there's a very key word that you used, the word pathological. And I have to say, since our enslavement, brother, we have become pathological punks. We have become pathological sissies. We have become pathological upholders of white supremacy. It's almost to the point now it's becoming our nature to not only destroy oneself, but to honestly sit back, Dashaun, to sit back and watch and allow these no good goddamn crackers to shoot us down like sick damn cattle, to shoot us down like sick horses and sick dogs. And we continuously, I mean no disrespect, there's many aspects of warfare, but all we're happy with is a goddamn comfortable little 2 or 3 hour march. All we're happy with is a little damn legislation. All we're happy with is just a little pat on the head and some crumbs from these damn death-killing organizations running around here. We talk too much. And it's open season on black men, Dashaun, because of the very simple fact. We have become pathological talkers. I remember a history where we fought this cracker to tooth and nail. They killed one of us. God damn it, we killed 500 million of them. What happened to that in black people? We have become pathological talkers, pathological marchers, pathological singers and dancers, pathological faggots and lesbians, Dashaun. That's what happened to us. And we're now comfortable in sitting in this damn pathological weak position. We turned over, put the covers over our head, start snoring even louder. Now that Obama has 4 more years, but over 200 left and right wing, I don't give a damn if they got no wings, 200 militias has been formed since Obama has been in office. 200 militias, white militias. So we're talking open season? Hell no. It's been open season on a black man, woman, and child since 1492. Since Queen Elizabeth in England started planning her plan to kidnap the black man.
Well, King Samir, we thank you for joining us. And that was, wow, that was, some might say that was quite a, you know, that was a, that's King Samir Shabazz. Let's get to another call. Hello? Hello?
I'm still here. Appreciate you, a National Field Marshal, calling in.
Thank you for calling. And also, just as a sidetrack, Brother Sean, before we continue, I just wanted to let you know that a few minutes ago, The National Minister of Culture of the new Black Panther Party, Baba Zaid Muhammad, had walked in. Hopefully he'll be joining us. Hopefully. He may be calling in. But, yes, who are we up?
Let's welcome him in. We're talking now to area code 917-684. Area code 917-684. You're on the air live with your host, Deshaun Farad. Black Power Radio is an open season on the young black male. Talk to us, Black Power.
Hi, good evening. This is Danette Chavis from New York City, New York. Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Sister Danette. How you been?
Always
a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I'm fine, thank you. And in answer to the question, yes, it's open season on all black men. It has always been open season on all black men. It has never ceased to be open season on all black men. And those who question that fact are deluded into an illusion of inclusion and do not want to see reality as it really is. I'm upset at this shooting in Florida. I'm upset at the audacity to try to lay claim to a law in defense of the murder, because that's what it was, outright murder. I'm upset out of the 137 bullets that was fired on two unarmed individuals out in Cleveland, and the police department allowing them 3 days paid leave in order to go and get their stories together. We should all be upset about the atrocities being committed against us, but we are not. And those of us who are, we're scattered in our efforts trying to fight a common enemy. And we need to unite together collectively and demand action and demand this government to answer the false claims that it has been making concerning itself since its inception. The false claims that there is liberty and freedom for all. Those are false claims, but they are totally believed. People give their lives because they believe that. People fail to take action on behalf of their own self because they believe that. They believe that there's a government in place that is looking out for their interests. And as concerning black people, they're looking to destroy us and have been doing that. It's time that we call this government out on the falsehoods and the lies that are being perpetrated and told.
Now, you know, Danette, you saying something, and Brother Sean, please feel free to jump in with what I'm about to ask. Last week, the Hispanic caucus, you know how we have the Congressional Black Caucus, but you have the Hispanic caucus that also sits at Capitol Hill. These are our Latino brothers and sisters who are congresspeople. You want to know what they did last week? They told President Obama, look, we helped put you back in office as we did, you know, we helped put you back in office. It's time for you to start meeting our agenda, dealing with our agenda. Now, what I want to know is, since police brutality is a major issue that is affecting the black community in America, I want to know, do people of African descent have a right to pressure President Obama on this case? Now, he was already, listen, during his first term, we gave him a pass. Some of us who are progressive, we said, well, you know, it's his first term. He doesn't want to come across as being too black, so he has to do things so he can get in the next 4 years. Okay, he got in now, second term. Do we as people of African descent have an obligation to pressure the president to jump on this issue of police brutality?
We have an obligation to ourselves to demand rights that are entitled to us, not by the laws of the land, but by God who created us. Whosoever the president is in office as a representative, as the head over the United States, he has an obligation to address the concerns and the issues of the people. And we are people here in this United States. He cannot ignore us. As far as I'm concerned, police brutality should be number one front and center in the agenda, because it is us who are being killed and incarcerated by the thousands by law enforcement. Law enforcement is the tool that is used by this government to slay and incarcerate thousands. Yes, it should be in his face, 24/7, with nonstop.
Sister Danette, we thank you very much for your fiery call. We got to get to the other call, sis. That's why we don't want to, you know, there are other people that want to call. This is a very hot topic, and we know you got a lot to say, Queen. So we're going to have to excuse you for now, beloved. But of course, there'll be other episodes. Thanks for calling in, Queen. Brother Sean, before we get to the other phone line, I just wanted to say that it seems now, you know, with over 93% of African Americans voting for President Obama in this second election, in his reelection, it still seems that most of us are still giving the president a free pass because he's the first black president in office. And I'm noticing that. Okay, like I said, our Latino brothers and sisters on Capitol Hill, they pressured him. They said, look, we got you in the second term. It's time that you start meeting such and such in our agenda. What are you going to do? And I think that we're still being a little bit too light and too general on the president. The folks that say, well, he's not the president of black America. He's the president of America. Okay, well, black people are a part of America.
That's right.
Okay, so let's get to the phone lines.
No, that's real. And another thing you got to think about, Brother Deshaun, is what is the black agenda? Have black people come together as a consensus, as the Chicano community did, to say this is our agenda? That's what we got to talk about.
Brother Sean, you know what? In September, I was at the Apollo in Harlem, and BET's other network, Centric, had hosted a panel discussion. It was actually moderated by T.J. Holmes. You know, he hosts Don't Sleep Now. Okay, mm-hmm. Michael Everett Dyson was on that panel, Reverend Al Sharpton, Dr. James Peterson, he's a professor. We had two other people, and I stood up, and I asked a question. I said, what exactly is the black agenda? I said, when are we going to start advocating our agenda? And don't you know it was a very vague answer? Okay, and the question, I'll be honest with you, the answer that was given was, first of all, it was like but it was one of those type of answers. No one gave me a clear answer. So I'm seeing now, we as people of African descent, we have to keep in mind that we're not monolithic. Other groups of people are fairly monolithic, whereas we're not, because you have some black folks that want to separate from America, some black folks want to integrate in America. So we're somewhat confused by that. Let's get to the phone line.
Area code 757. 208. Area code 757-208. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're raising the question, is it open season on the young black male? Your host, Deshaun Farrar. Talk to us, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power. This is the Chuma in Norfolk, VA.
How are you doing?
All I want to say is, as a black nation and a black community, we have no problem. And the reason why I say that, because we're not doing enough going to the city council meetings. We're not doing enough going to the school board meetings. We're not doing enough going to any type of other meetings to make a difference in our community. See, we want to sit back and complain about what's going on with our children, but yet and still we can't get together. We can't even get a group of five of us together to go down, even protest, talk, do anything within our own community. So if we can't start locally, how are we going to work coast to coast? How are we going to work internationally?
This is
so that's
system.
Why I say
this,
we don't have any problems, because evidently the problems that we do have is not enough for us to do anything other than have these shows every week.
This
you
sister,
know,
sister, you are obviously a sister who's politically in tune. I like your insight.
And yes, I'm going to use that word.
I like your insight.
Something should have happened by this point.
Because
now we went
like
from Trayvon Martin to Jordan Davis. And who's next? My son? Your son? The boy up the street? You know what I'm saying? Like, when are we going to take a step, or when are we going to do something to say, okay, you know what? They're not taking no more of our children as our prisoner of wars or murder victims or however you want to classify it. So that's all I have to say. Peace and black power.
That's what King Samir was just saying a few moments ago. King Samir had said at one time you had certain elements of the black community that did countermeasures. You know, Brother Shaw, who we have next? I like how that sister thinks.
Sister Chuma, we thank you for your call and your fire, my sister. We got another 757 area code. Area code 757. Let's see, 756, I'm getting you messed up. We got you in here. My bad. Area code 919-408. Area code 919-408. Sorry for your wait time. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, is it open season on the young black male? Black Power.
Hi, Deshaun.
How are you doing? Is that Sister Suzette?
It is. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite well. Let me find out you creeping in VA. I usually get a call from you in Durham. Never mind. I'll leave that alone. What do you have to say?
Well, first of all, it was so good to be up here with you guys. You know,
we already know what's going on within, you know, the white supremacy, how we've been oppressed for hundreds of years, and we know about that. What I'm witnessing myself firsthand is, you know, unfortunately, we as black folk have bought into the lie of our oppressors. We have bought into the negative stereotypes and our joking and in our talking. Even when I listen to my children, when they communicate amongst themselves, you know, this nigga did this, and you know, just how they talk, and you know, my children are not necessarily doing that, but you know, they're friends, and you know, when you have a child that has pride and holds their head up high, all of a sudden, you know, you think you all that, you trying to be an Oreo, you trying to be white, you know, but. We're teaching our children this. We're teaching our generation this. They're watching BET. They're listening to, what is that guy, Lil Wayne and Young Jeezy, and, you know, they're telling these our girls that they're hoes and they're niggers, and we're buying into this. And it's totally destroying us within. I mean, let's not even look at, you know, the white folk right now. We know that problem. But if we can actually get together amongst ourselves and start educating our children and educating each other and stop allowing our oppressors to educate us, but educate ourselves and let each other and get pride back and realize that we are wonderful people, we are great people, we are powerful people, and you know, and not wait until situations like this to all of a sudden say, okay, we have a problem. There's been a problem. There's been
now,
open season.
Now, Suzette, I want to ask you this, okay? Now, listen,
yes.
Up. You being a black professional, you're very well-read. You keep in contact with current events. But you, like most of us, have folks who came from down south. Now, you and I, we grew up in the north, okay? But we have relatives
sure.
who grew up in the old south. I once heard Minister Louis Farrakhan say, that he said to young people, he said, you know, the young black folks, you don't know the racism that your grandfather saw. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel that most young African-Americans who grew up post-civil rights seem to be somewhat spoiled and naive when it comes to racism, say situations like this that we're dealing with the wholesale killing of black men?
Yes, definitely. I think they are, first of all, most of them, I don't want to say most of them, but a lot of them present to be complacent. And I think that what happens is they don't recognize that there's a true problem until it actually affects them. And I think they're trying to be too political. I think they're trying to be too, stay on the fence instead of taking a clear stand for black folk. You know, it's funny how when you look at other races, like, here in Durham, we have the Mexicans. They're very clear. We're for our people, and we're standing for our people. But then when you have our black leaders, it's kind of like they're afraid to say we're all for our people because I guess that's not the cool thing to do. I think that we need some very clear, direct, and strong leaders, and I agree with that. We unfortunately, a lot of times we don't have that. We need more men like you, Mr. Farad.
I'm just the brother. Listen up, but I'm also online with another strong brother, a fireball. We got Brother Sean on here. So, you know, we're all in this fight together. Listen up, Queen.
Yes, sir.
We thank you for calling us. As always, very good to hear from the insightful Sister Suzette. Okay, let's get to the other phone line.
Okay, Sister Suzette, we thank you so much for your call. Appreciate you. Black Power, let me go to another VA call here at area code. Did we lose you? Like we lost you. All right, let's keep it moving. Area code 214-395. 214-395. You're on live with your host, Deshaun Farad, and this is Black Power Radio. We're asking, is it open season on the young black male? Black Power.
Black Power, family. It's Brother DK.
DK, how you been?
Man, I'm doing great, brother. You know, just to hear some of the conversation, the dialect going back and forth about the topic and the issue, I haven't heard anybody say anything wrong. But I'm going to be honest with you. We have to put ourselves in a state of reality when we're dealing with it. Everything King Samir said is exactly true. Sister Truman hit on the knot. But we got to put ourselves in a state of reality. Okay, we know our enemy is attacking us. Are we preparing to attack our enemies? Some people are. Some people are not. We got to stop being reactionary Negroes. You know, every time something happens, we react to it after it's happened. Man, enough has happened. We have to say, fucking enough has happened. Enough has happened to our people. Now we take a stand. The problem is this. like the sister was just saying, some people, they don't want to identify to their true self, man. They want to live in this type of world with the cracker. You know, they want to live, they don't want to segregate. They want to be integrated. They feel like, I got to live next to the white man, I got to have with the white man. That's how they want to live. And how people have been brainwashed to thinking that that's cool. You know, down to the point to where you ain't even got to teach the babies to think that there's something wrong with that thinking. These children nowadays grow up and they feel like, you know, it is what it is. You know, this is normal to live in the conditions they live in. And, you know, mama was a punk, so I'm going to be a punk. Mom and daddy was a sucker. They let white folks push them over, so I'm going to let white folks push me over, too.
Okay,
but then
now,
you have a rebellious group of Negroes and a rebellious group of black people, who say, man, I grew up a little different, man. I grew up in the heart of the South. My mother didn't teach me to hate white people. White people taught me not to like white people. You know what I mean? Some black people out here who taught me not to like they black ass as well. But I just decided that, man, you know, hey, I ain't got to take it. You know, I ain't got to take a pressure from no man, white man, black man, nobody. So I decided to stand out against it. You know, I think about my babies. You know what I mean? I have 9 girls, man. Who's going to teach my girls something different? Who's going to teach my sons something different? You know what I mean? And I see it like this. They strap, we strap. When I was out here, when I was living the nigga mentality, man, I was gang banging. I believed in retaliation. And then sometimes we didn't even have to retaliate, man. We was in them streets. We just put in work so fierce sometimes to where people knew not to fuck with us. That's the way black people have to be. And that's what the white man has done. He's put in work on our people for so long to where they feel like, some of them feel like, no, we ain't going to mess with that white man. You know, he run things. He called all the shots. So they going to take my housing away.
And you see, that actually, now DK, see, that's what brings me, see, you touching on that actually brings me to this point. I have to reemphasize, what is it about black life? It seems that there's no value on black life to people, to the point that you have folks outside and inside of our community who feel that it's okay to take out a black person. Okay, whenever you speak to one of our brothers and sisters in the street, whenever you ask the question, why did you shoot that brother like that? Oh, well, he's just a nigga. That was it. That's what I want to know, because it's very sad how, say, for example, we could walk down the street in our own community and we have to worry about being robbed, mugged, or shot down by our own brother and sister, okay? And then somebody, say, for example, this is the thing that always gets me. Whenever I travel around the country, all these cities that I've been to, D.C., St. Louis, Philadelphia, Newark, East Orange, New Jersey, Indianapolis, et cetera, et cetera, you can see the Mormons walking around. Most of the time in Harlem, you see Mormons. Most of the time it's two young white men going through the hood, riding bikes. Late at night, I'm talking about at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody bothers them. I'm talking about nobody bothers them. My gang brother, gang-affiliated brothers and sisters, nobody bothers them. But if we see a black old, lady walking down the street, somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother, somebody's father, they'll stop messing with them, assault them, or take them out. I want to know what's behind that. What is it about black life? Why is it seen as being so valueless?
The black life has been stripped of value, man, throughout the years, even to our own people. We look at it like this. You know what? When I was in prison, I did a prison term 96 to 99. When I was on my release unit in 99, I still was banging. I still was, you know, calling some shots, and my mind was still in other places. Well, it took an old brother, man, to tell me, one time, he was like, you know, what makes it so easy for me to dislike these disciples? What makes it so easy for me to dislike these Crips? Because they wear blue. Because they, you know, they think opposite of how I think. He made me look at things a little bit different, man. I felt like, you know, these cats didn't have no value. You know what I mean? They're on the other team. They ain't have no value. So that's the way when you in the gang and when you separate, that's the way I was taught to think. Well, our people have been trained and bred that same way now. You know, they feel like throughout the years they have had no value because they were taken out like livestock. And now it's easy for another brother to kill another brother because guess what? That's the easy enemy. That's the easy target. Well, our people, man, sometimes, I'm going to be real, man, sometimes cats just scared a true challenge. You know, it's a challenge to deal with that devil on this level. It's a challenge because you got to challenge yourself. You got to face yourself and you got to deal with that beast. See, once you deal with yourself, then it's, and you realize who you are and who you are and what you stand for, man, it's easy to deal, you know, deal with the enemy on this level. But some people don't even want to face themselves, bro. They don't realize the value and the greatness of themselves. So until you can dig back and back into history and realize who you are, who you were, then you'll never know who you can become. You'll never be able to deal with your enemy. Some of these same cats are the same people who will let the white man come and out, stomp, beat, and rape, and kick their damn children's ass and don't do nothing about it. As long as you give them what they comfortable with in the hood or comfortable with in their condition of life, wherever they at, then they cool with it. Because food stamps and welfare, not everybody struggle. There's some people who are born in wealthy families and they still passive SOBs. You know what I mean? They still passive in the mud, man, and allow stuff to happen to them. And there's people in the world who poor and broke and they ain't got nothing to lose.
Well, listen,
they
DK,
say that we want more.
DK, listen up, brother. As always, you full of, you're like a wealth of knowledge, okay? We appreciate you calling us up. We got to get to these other phone lines, family. We'll be in touch. Stay blessed. Who do we have on the line, Brother Sean?
We have area code 215-554, area code 215-554. You're on live with Brother Deshaun Farad. This is Black Power Radio. Is it open season, the young black male? Talk to us.
Black Power International, Field Marshal, New Black Panther Party, King Samir once again.
Welcome back, King Samir.
Yes, sir. Brother, you know, everybody's making excellent points. But again, as I spoke about earlier, you know, we're doing too much talking because crackers plan and they move out. We have to plan and we have to move out. You know, I hear people always telling me, yeah, we need to unite. All it's going to take is for us to unite. Yeah, I feel that. But on some real, I mean, let's just be real here. A lot of our own people, unfortunately, are going to have to die with this white man. And that has to be, I mean, we have to get that set in our minds. Because we can't talk about warfare and then talk about no casualties. That's
now,
not a war.
Now, King Samir, are you all advocating, at all genocide?
Am I advocating genocide?
Yes, sir.
I'm advocating the total removal of white supremacy, Dashaun. However, anybody wants to take that. And I'm being very careful with my words for a very specific reason. But I will say I'm for the total removal and the total destruction, Dashaun, of white supremacy and white rule. And if
Thank
we're not
remember.
Talking about our survival, if we're not talking about our future, then shut the hell up. If we're not talking about planning for our babies to live and live as a free people, then shut the hell up. If we're not really ready to die for our goddamn freedom of our children, then shut the hell up. There's no reason black children should be murdered every single day by the hands of crackers, and all the hell we want to do is get our behinds on Facebook and talk all this internet gangster damn talk on Facebook, but these same goddamn crackers and their children, we sitting around here eating lunch and having pepperoni pizza and Heinekens with these bastards. I'm for the total destruction of white supremacy, man, bottom line. And if we're not talking about that, shut the hell up.
Samir, we thank you for your insight as always. Sean, let's go to the next phone line.
All right. Shut the hell up. Let me go to the next caller here at area code 269-369. 269-369. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about is it open season on the Young Black Male. Your host is Sean Farrar, Black Power. We lost that caller. Let's move to another caller. Call back in, area code now, 214-672, 214-672. You're on live Black Power Radio. Is it open season of young black male? Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power,
yes.
You're on live.
Brother Sean Farrar, Black Power, long time. Brother Hakeem Muhammad.
Oh, yeah.
Black
oh, Sheikh,
Black
oh, yeah, Sheikh Hakeem. How you doing, soldier? As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salamu alaykum. Wa-alaykum as-salamu alaykum. I'm sitting here, and I'm having some flashbacks. I'm going back almost 20-something years ago when the Black Power General and myself was sitting down for the college movie talking about the National Rifles Association, how Charleston Heston had pushed the issue for the right to bear arms according to the Constitution. You know, our people are due for the lack of knowledge. This crackers didn't just push this bill for the National Rifles Association for them to bear arms. they were preparing themselves so that they can get on to our people so they can use them on ourselves. Like you say, they'll let this cracker ride up and down the streets, and you can see the peckerwood in the neighborhood at Christmas time. He's bringing these Christmas trees, but you never see a Jew have one in his house. At the same time, I say that to say this, we've been here since 1555. This cracker's been cracking this whip on our back for a long goddamn time, and it's not finna stop. I was looking at the situation the other day with the brother from the Kansas City Chiefs. This peckerwood come on during the Cowboy game, and he put the burden on that brother because he had a gun. Say, we don't have the money to just ship guns into this country. These crackers do, so they know what they're doing. Let's tell our people, you know, they look forward to seeing what we've been doing in the streets and understanding why the Panther is taking up his gun and up come with his gun. Say, this is a force to be reconciled with. Our people are endangering the species, especially our youth, because they're the future for tomorrow. So unless we get together and keep organizing, strategizing, strategizing, and putting this thing together with the national chairman, Dr. Kennedy Malik wants to do, hey, this cracker gets no peace. And we got to stay on our people, too, and stay in the streets and let them know, say, yeah, you need your gun, true enough. But then we're not supposed to let no peckerwood come on TV and national broadcast and say because the man with the Kansas City Chief was a brother, if he wouldn't have had his gun, he wouldn't have been dead. See, people are lighting some fires in front of us and stuff that don't need to be done, and we don't need this. We don't need now cracker to speak on the behalf of our people what he can say stuff like this and get away with it. So I'm making it my personal agenda to get after his goddamn ass. I'm going to start doing a TV broadcast here in the city of Dallas very soon on a cable channel. I want everybody to say Mike Dean because we need to stay together. Our youth need us. The black men is an endangered species. Black power.
Thank you, Shaq. I can't thank you very much. Well, once again, Brother Sean, just to remind you,
yes,
Voice if Dr. Watkins calls in, it's going to be from a 315 number, just to remind you again. Let's get back to the phone lines.
Yes, sir. I sent him a text. I'm looking out for him.
Okay, yes,
we'll go to Eric code 225-262. Eric code 225-262. You're on live Black Power Radio, and your host, Brother Deshaun Farad. Is it open season on the young black male? Your thoughts?
Peace. How y'all doing, God?
Fine. Peace.
All right. Peace.
This is Silky Slim out of Louisiana.
Silky,
man,
how you doing? How you doing? Yes, sir.
Man, I'm blessed, man. I am truly blessed. And I like to see the spirit that people are carrying, but we got to realize one thing, that we in the streets killing our damn self. And until we approach that situation and get that situation under the control, we would look like hypocrites crying about individuals that police are killing when we far outnumbering them and killing our damn selves. So until we tackle that problem, all other problems are going to continue to exist because we're not showing love for one another. And until we start showing love for one another, nobody else is going to love us. We are the most hated people on the planet. And until we realize that we have to love our damn self and stand up against anything else, then we're going to continue to be in the same hell that we are in. So my message is that we have to tackle our own inner problems first before we start talking about what the cracker is doing. The cracker is not doing us anything other than what we allow this damn cracker to do. But one thing this cracker has been successful in doing is that making his point, don't play with me. This cracker is not allowing you to play with him because this cracker is busting your damn head every time you open your eyes to try to look at him. So until we start working out our inner problems, we're going to continue to see the same havoc and hell that we're seeing every single day. So I just think it's so damn hypocritical for us to get so damn mad when we have a police officer that kills somebody that's black, but we don't get mad when somebody black kills somebody that's black. We tell us to shut the hell up and use the no snitching policy. But
now,
we
Silk,
have
I have to ask you a question. Silk,
own thing.
Silk, I have
yes,
to ask
sir.
You a question. How would you respond to Kevin Powell? Now, Kevin Powell, I attended a rally. I covered a rally back in February after Trayvon Martin was killed. Kevin Powell, we were in Brooklyn. In fact, Brother Shaw was there, as a matter of fact. And with Kevin Powell was on Open Line. Open Line is a program co-hosted by Brother Antume. And people were calling Kevin Powell, saying the same thing that you're saying. And how would you respond to Kevin Powell saying that when you make that statement about the black self-genocide, that you are, in fact, using that to justify the killing of black men? How would you respond to Kevin Powell?
Oh, hell no. I feel like anybody that take a black life, they goddamn life should be taken, whether they're black, white, or a damn devil. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to give them a pass to say that they can kill the blacks because we're already killing ourselves. Hell no. But we have to deal with that problem as well as the next problem, and we have to be willing to stand up like the deacons of the fence stand up and say, damn it, anybody that kill a black man, then we're going to be against those individuals. And that's what we have failed, that we bring our damn nephews, bring our sons inside the house, and I've been guilty of some of the same shit that I'm talking about, but I'm saying that we cannot embrace our own killers just because they're the same color of us. We have to start thinking like each other and start making sure that we get our point across, that we're serious about saving the black life. Now, when it comes down to all the things that people are talking about, what Obama should be held accountable for, how in the hell can you make man accountable for something that he hasn't said he was going to do? That's impossible. If he didn't take an agenda from you, then he don't owe you a damn thing. And at the end of the day, it's our responsibility to take our neighborhoods and make them safe neighborhoods, because we're the ones that's creating the havoc. The hell with the police doing every damn thing. Until we stand up, let your damn nuts hang and let these individuals know we sick of your ass killing each other. The same thing that stopped this cracker from openly killing us in the 60s and in the 70s, that's the same damn type of movement that we got to move on to stop us from killing each other, else we're going to be damn hypocrites. We can't let our own kill each other, and we can't let this cracker kill us either. But we have to be serious about this and take a stand on this. And until we start that type of movement, we're going to stay in the same damn position, begging, crawling, every time you open your goddamn eyes, asking this damn cracker for assistance. That's a fucking display on us, man. We have to start standing up, being strong enough to let them know, man, it's time for us to really come together and form this army that we're talking about, else we need to sit our ass down too. Every time someone goes out and kill a black man and he's white, we want to start a damn movement. We want to start getting on the phone. We want to start talking like King Shamir say, but we ain't doing a damn thing after the talk. We go right back to the goddamn Facebook, right back to Twitter, and talk about what we talked about, but ain't putting no action behind it. Until we put action behind things, we're going to continue to be. A damn vision demands action. So if you have a vision, you got to put action behind it, else it's a nightmare. And that's what the hell we in. We're in a nightmare. We got to wake up out of this damn nightmare, man, and get this job done. Y'all take it easy, man. Black power, and I love y'all.
Silky Slim, thank you for calling, my friend. Now, I just wanted to keep in mind that in 2008, and Brother Sean, I'm quite sure you might remember this, Brother Giop from, I believe he's from the Uhuru organization in Florida. Since we talk about Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida, when at the time Senator Obama, Candidate Obama, had a rally, and Giop had caused a disruption at the rally. Giop, well, no, it was pronounced Giop. I'm sorry, the sister interrupted my radio broadcast. Anyway, I'm sorry, Brother Sean. Brother Giop. He might call it Deacon. You said what, sir?
Brother Obala, you're talking about out of Philly.
Yes, sir, out of Philly. Okay. But we know him as Giop. Okay,
yes.
But he stood up and he asked Senator Obama, he said, look, what are you doing for black people? What about the black agenda? And Senator Obama had told him, he said, I fought for legislation to address police brutality in Chicago. So what we want to know is, and Silky Slim made a good point, but we want to know is, will he fight for legislation challenging police brutality now that he's in office, especially for his second term? Let's get back to the phone lines.
Let's go back to the phone lines. I'll say like the national chairman said a few radio shows back, I doubt it, but we'll see. Eric Cole, 562-239, 562-239, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. We're asking, is it open season on the young black mayor? Your host is Sean Farad. Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean, and Assalamualaikum, brother. Brother Vernon Ali out here on the West Coast.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks a lot. Yes, Brother Vernon. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Yes, sir, brother. Look, brother, plain and simple, brother, our unity. I heard King Shamir loud and clear, and brother spoke plain as he always does. But, brother, in message to the black man, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that our unity is stronger than an atomic weapon, than an atomic bomb. Brother, we are, no matter what we do and what we stand on, we're going to have to unify. And far as open season on our people, brother, it's been a green light on black men since the emancipation. Since we were no longer property, there's been a green light. Kill them where you see them. and they found different methods of doing it, brother. This is nothing new. You know what I mean? But the mindset of black people has changed. When I was a young boy growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, we were death on them white boys. My uncles and older guys in my neighborhood, they were death on these white boys. They had little problems amongst themselves, but nothing like today. If you look at how this devil has used his spin machines and his media today, like brother said, black on black is acceptable. It's not. But like I said, brother, within our community, that's one thing. We'll take care of our community. But this devil killing this boy, he's coming from the outside, and that's an absolute no-no. Black power, I'm done.
We thank you for joining us, Vernon.
All right.
Thank you,
brother.
You know,
thank
one
you,
thing,
brother
you know what? You know what I will say, Brother Sean, that it's listen up. I'm quite sure that on any radio show, the hosts always enjoy phone calls, and they always enjoy hot topics, but it's very sad that we have so many phone calls tonight based on this issue.
That's true.
You know, it's very sad, family. I mean, I'm just sitting up here. I'm thankful for the calls, but I'm actually sad at the circumstances surrounding why we have so many calls tonight. But we do thank you all for tuning in. Let's get back to the lines.
Definitely, definitely. Let's go out to the West Coast at area code 562-607. 562-607. You're on live with Black Power Radio. And we're asking the question, is it open season on the young black male? Give us your thoughts and your question, Black Power.
Yes, this is Mahogany X, Black Power.
Yes, it's open season
on black men. And unfortunately, I so happen to be from Florida, a native Floridian, and I'm ashamed to say that, but I know all about the stand your ground law, you know. And I think that, well, since they're going to use that stand your ground law on and killing black people, well, then we need to arm ourselves self-defense and start shooting these crackers just like they're shooting us. I mean, it's time for us to bust back because I'm getting ready to buy mine real soon because I want somebody to come at me. I'm going to start shooting and then get my bail money ready because I'm not going to sit up here and let anybody take control of my life like that. And just take me, I just put a cut out of my skin. And then a brother had called earlier about why do black people pick at other black people when they're walking through the neighborhood, but don't mess with anybody white who walked through? Because it's called self-hatred. That was me who asked that.
Yes, ma'am.
It's called that Willie Lynch syndrome in the minds. And it's when they see our black people oppressed, poor. And, you know, I guess he gets tired of looking at all of that. And when they see each other, another black person just like them, it's like it mirrors the image of themselves, and it makes them want to lash out. They're really lashing out at themselves. You know what I'm saying? But they're looking at this white person as this God want to be like, but not
now,
me. I mean, that's why we need to learn to love ourselves and learn to teach ourselves about our history.
Now, Sister Mahogany, I must ask you. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish. Go ahead, finish your point. I got something to ask you. Go ahead. I'm sorry, sis. Finish your point.
Yeah, you can go ahead. I'm finished with it. I mean,
Sister Mahogany, listen up, Sister Mahogany. Now, I'm not at all trying to get you to tell on your age, but do you have any grown black sons or teenage black sons?
I don't have any kids.
Okay. No,
I
was just curious.
I don't have any children.
Do you have any nephews? Any nephews or cousins?
Yeah, I have nephews. I do. And,
there's a reason I'm asking because what I would like to get, Brother Sean, I'm hoping that tonight we get some mothers. Like Sister Danette who had just called, I'm hoping tonight we get some black mothers who are raising black sons, whether they be single or in a two-parent home, and I want to get their insights on the fear it is of a black woman raising a son because I've said for quite some time, I said how white mothers raise their sons and how black mothers raise their sons is that, one, white mothers raise their sons to live, whereas black mothers raise their sons to survive. There's a big difference.
That's true.
There's a big difference. So that's what I want to get on. So, sister, I want to ask you a question. You having nephews?
Yes, I do. And they
Right. Okay. Yes, ma'am. You having nephews. What I want to know is, tell me, do you see the pressure that their parents go through raising them in a society such as America? The stress?
I do.
Do you sense that?
Yes, I do. And that's why I was trying to tell them, you know, no matter what you go through, don't take it out on your other black people. if anything, you help your old black people and you try to rise up out of your situation the best you can. If you want to take it out on somebody, take it on that fucking that white man, you know what I'm saying? Don't take it out on your own people. I try to teach them that.
Because this
and
is,
I teach
this
them to marry your own damn people. Marry your own, you know what I'm saying?
What is
don't
what,
have
what,
white woman. Marry your black woman.
Well, man, this is what I well, this is what
like
I was.
They already know.
Well, this is what I was thinking. Okay, you know, in the South, actually across America, but in the early part of the 20th century, after emancipation, but in the early part, I should say the early to the mid part of the 20th century, black mothers had to teach their black sons how to speak. In other words, if you see a white person, don't look at a white person in their eye. Don't speak to a white person this way. Don't walk by a white person this way. Don't speak to a white girl this way. Don't speak to a white woman this way. Because there was a time now, and it seems like there's a resurrection of this attitude, but there was a time where looking at a white person a certain way, Emmett Till, could cost you your life. And I'm noticing that this has actually been resurrected, say, over the past five or six years, with all these incidents of black men being taken out. You know, I'm hoping I'm not being paranoid, but that's what it looks like to me. Let's get to the next call. Sister Mahogany, thank you for calling us.
Okay, I just want to say I ain't scared to look at the beast in the eye.
You I heard that. I hear that fire. Listen up, you know, Brother Sean, tonight we got a lot of warrior queens calling up. I'm hearing Harriet Tubman and Yah Santiwa, Zynga, Sojourner Truth, Sister Claire Muhammad,
yes,
Betty Jabal. My goodness. Go ahead, next caller.
They not having it, black man.
I'm sitting there listening to these. Talking about something. Hold up. I'm here. I got my stuff ready. Quack, quack. I said, yes, ma'am. Next caller.
Area code 845-249. Area code 845-249. You're on the air live with Black Power Radio. Your host, Deshaun Farrar. We're asking, is it open season on the young black male? Talk to us, please.
Yeah, Black Power, gentlemen. How you guys doing? It's Ismael Shabazz.
Oh, Ismael, how you doing, brother? Ismael, upstate, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, brother. Brother, we always had, man, a war on black men from day one when they brought us over here, so ain't nothing changed. The only thing changed, man, is that we stopped fighting back. Now, I remember the Black Liberation Army. That's what we need to get back to. You know, we need to teach our kids, man, our babies, man, to defend themselves, not to kill themselves, but defend themselves, man, from white supremacy. Getting some air got on. Once we get rid of that, we be all good.
Listen up, Ismael. I'm going to say this to you one time, okay? And I'm not at all trying to make light of the situation, but I'm hearing all these talks about going at white people. I'm going to say this to you. You better watch what you say about white folks behind their backs. This place could be bugged.
Hey, listen, brother. I lived like that all my life, brother. I ain't scared. What I say,
no, I was just watching the spook who sat by the door the other night, brother. But of course, I had to throw some hue in there, brother. I wasn't at all telling them to be afraid.
I know that, brother. But you know, and the sad thing is, man, is that you know these young brothers, man, is killing themselves. You know, the black and black crime, man, is they because there's no out crime. But there's people afraid. There's people, man, scared. You know, the community doesn't like it. You know, when there's a killing of any kid, it's usually us black kid. It's black person or police.
Now, Ismael, I want to ask you a question. Listen up now. You don't live in New York City. You live in upstate New York, okay?
That's
now, we've been hearing for the past few years now of the killing of innocent black men by law enforcement. I want to ask you a question briefly, because we got to get to these other calls.
Okay.
What is the situation of police brutality against black folks, specifically black men in your part of New York? Because we know you don't live in the boroughs. You live upstate. Give us a snapshot of that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I'll tell you, about 2 years ago when I met you, they shot a young brother, unarmed young brother, in the head, you know, just for running. Just recently, man, in Newburgh, they shot a young man 15 times in his house in front of his family. So it's everywhere, man, in this. You know, this United Snakes of America. You know, they don't respect us as men because they feel that we don't respect ourselves. So they think that it's because that we don't, there's no outcry, black and black crime, that they can get away with. We won't say nothing when they do it.
Well, you know what, part of that was actually discussed. You know, last night I had actually, for a few seconds, I had called in to MLTEP Gary Bird's show on WBLS. He was on, and they were discussing the same subject, and that was actually touched on.
Yeah, but it should be, man. We need to start educating, you know, our youth. I teach my grandkids, man, to look a person in the eye, never be ashamed or fearful of anyone. You know, you watch how I do. They watch me, man, and I'm not afraid of anybody, and I'm not afraid of dying. Because that goes with life.
Well, listen up, Brother Ishmael. We thank you for calling us, and we'll be sure to hit you up soon. Let's get to another phone line. My goodness, these phone lines are lit up tonight. My goodness.
Yes,
it's very, like I said, it's very sad why they lit up tonight.
Yeah, it's really plaguing us all. I like to throw out there this before we go to the next caller, that I don't buy the argument. You're going to have to argue with me. I don't buy the argument that we're killing ourselves, because when I read people like Baba Dr. Amos Wilson, who analyzed black-on-black violence, he talks about how that's a sub-byproduct of white-on-black violence. So we're going to have to talk about that. Is it us doing it to ourselves, knowing that it's Willie Lynch-ism and the mentality out there that makes us fight each other? Go ahead.
Go ahead, brother. No, go ahead, fam. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying, is it really, when we look at us doing it to us, is it really us doing it to us? Are we being driven to do it to ourselves, or, you know, to kill ourselves? That's the question I'm asking.
But this is the thing that sickens me, okay? I had a professor by the name at North Carolina Central University by the name of Dr. Carlton Wilson. He's now a member of ASILA, the organization that Carter G. Woodson has started. He works with them, okay? He made the statement, whenever it comes to black people harming each other, they always say, well, brother against brother. It was brother enslaving brother. But that argument is never used whenever we're discussing World War I, World War II, mm-hmm. the French Revolution, the Civil War, the War of 1812. In America, the two biggest examples of white-on-white crime were the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. That was white mm-hmm. folks killing white folk. And a lot of people don't understand is that it was reported that the first generation in America of white men, of men killing each other, were white men during Reconstruction, because there was after the war, during Reconstruction, there was a surplus of guns in the street, no jobs, and you had a bunch of angry white men walking around with all these extra guns, and they were killing each other the way black men are killing each other. But I'm noticing mm-hmm. how whenever it comes to black folk, our little imperfections are always magnified, but white folks, other folks are doing the same thing. First of all, whoever you live around the most, that's who's going to kill you, who most likely will kill you. People don't realize that. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we seem to be doing it at a disproportionate number. But once again, we never discuss white-on-white crime, which we see taking place on a daily basis. We saw that in America, the Civil War, Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, World War I, World War II. Remember the movie Gangs of New York?
mm-hmm.
In 2002, showed white folk killing each other over gang affiliations.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm not, and to the callers, I'm not trying to scapegoat us. I'm not saying we don't have responsibility. I'm just trying to get us to think if there's a design and a plan that was put out before us to make us do what we do, can we really call it us doing it to ourselves? Is this a thing like what Deshaun was talking about, like the Hatfields and McCoys or the Wild Wild West where white people were shooting white people, or is it something that we are being driven to do? Let me take the next caller here. Let me get your call in. Area code 727-623. 727-623. You're on live now with Black Power Radio. Your host, Deshaun Farrar. We're asking the question, is it open season on the young black male? Your thoughts.
All power to the people. And I just want to say that how much I'm appreciating this program tonight, brother. And my people are on hold, and I've been holding for over an hour and a half. It's because people want to get organized.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. You're still on the line. We appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I got it. The people want organization. And unfortunately, we see on television, whether it be Al Sharpton or Michael Dyson and all of it, they're going to say the stuff and keep them paid by their voters. We're looking for the Fannie Lou Hamer. We're looking for the Nat Turner. We're looking for the common people that is being oppressed every day to take the place in history. Yes, we got some internal contradictions, but at the point in time when we can have school and just we go with all that other crap. We have to open seas on our children. I have two sons, 30, 10 first. The day I birthed them to this day, it is always a concern about what I may or may not do to them because they are not fair to me. But we build a movement. It's like when these white young people understand that this system has failed them, well, we should be fed up and analyze it to the point not care about who's in the White House to say our plan of action is to take this bullet on head first. And it's just some things we can do to see if we forgive. That's like the question got together and did that Taiwan suit. Our biggest occupation right now is the court system. Because from the court system, they take our children from taking our house to taking our house to rendering us justice. A man can't even have a basic license to take care of his basic needs. So if we can't get together right now on the national level, we should have a point, you know, that we can call back and say, what are we doing in our community? What are we doing, man, people, so our children have a little bit of confidence in us, that we are not just going to sit back and let them take up our babies from our womb and render to them what they make. And I have confidence because I believe what Brother Malcolm said. Our history is going to be our best point in defining who we are. Brother Malcolm, Brother Garvey said that we should take our shit to the international court so we can expose it all. Barack Obama in itself is not going to do it, but one thing we should be able to show Barack Obama, the Congressional Black Caucus, and all the rest of them, that we're not going to passively sit back, wait, and watch. So another 4 years, another class has come along, and we continue to be loyal to the Democratic Party, and we ain't got nothing from them. We have to be loyal to ourselves. As far as I say, I believe you can do it. I'd be comfortable, brothers and sisters, with all the Ebonic skills and whatever they have, make a determination to be soldiers of Nat Turner, Sojourner Truth, and all of the others that have a clear vision that we have a right to be free. I watched the Palestinian people the other day go in front of the United Nations, didn't give a damn what the United States said, and said they have a right. They have a right to take Israel to the law court. Who else don't have a better case than them, if not us, that have been here over 500 years and cannot get them to even address the 14th or 15th Amendment and say that we have a right to pursue that? I'd be damned, brother, that I'm going to allow them to just take my grandson and make cows and fishes out of them. They've got to keep their damn head down. They can't even make a plan about a future they have for themselves. Now, we've got to see America for what it is. Those that want to continue to stay here, they do so, but they do so in peace. Those of us who want to go home to Africa to free our people, free our land, free our resources, we do that. But I believe that individually, like we got everybody on the line tonight, we should be, you should call us, and brother, people call and say, what the hell are they doing? Then when we can mobilize your leadership, we say we're going to take our shit to the city. We're going to the White House. We're going to the United Nations. We're laying out our damn grievances because we ain't getting them addressed back now. Now, we can do that. We can do that under your leadership to do that. Make the call that people come back to you in a month, 2 months from now, say what they do. Stay on being sorry eyes about Barack Obama. Because there's one thing Barack Obama and all his family know, they're going to have a guaranteed future. We got to make sure we're going to have a guaranteed future for our damn children.
Yes, ma'am, listen up. We thank you for calling. Once again, I said we've had Warrior Queens call up tonight. My goodness, you know, sister, you reminded me of Queen Mother Moore. My goodness. Thanks for calling. Let's get to the other line. Hello? Thank you for calling. Who do we have on the line next, Sean?
All right, let's go to, and sister, thank you for that call. We look forward to organizing
Warrior Queen. My goodness.
Wow, okay. Area code 347-552. Area code 347-552. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. Your host is Deshaun Farad. The question is, is it a wholesale? Are the young black males being targeted wholesale? Talk to us, Black Power.
Hello?
Area code. Can you hear us? Eric, call 347-552. You're on live. Go right ahead.
Black Power, how y'all doing?
Oh, we got another one. Brother Sean, we got another one. Is that Sister Isis?
Black Power.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is. How you doing?
Fine. Go ahead, Warrior Queen. I'll just listen up now. Hold on now. Sister Isis, I'm not trying to censor you, but please kind of keep it somewhat brief because we got other calls. But please.
Yes, sir. No follow.
Let loose, please.
I just wanted to say that, of course, it's
Jesus
a whole soul because we have to understand that, you know, this country, it breeds on useless eaters. And we're on the bottom line. We're on the totem pole of a useless eaters. And those are people that they want to murder because they feel that their lives don't count. Now, as I was listening, I heard Brother Sean say, is it us doing it to us or is it being played as if it's us? Reality is this, right? Like, there's this documentary, a DVD out called Fighting a Poltergeist by Irritated Genie.
Yes, ma'am, Irritated Genie.
It's called Fighting a Poltergeist. And as he talks about the media and how it tries to portray us as black men and women do. And every time it's in a movie, it's in a video, these stereotypes, they're broadcasted everywhere. So all it does is set allies against us. So it's easy for a police officer to come into our community and shoot and act like it's one of us when in reality it's really one of them. But the bottom line is this. We got to start to teach our youth to know that, you know what, no, we will not bend just for a dollar. We're not going to allow you to keep stereotyping us like this so you can continue to use it as a tactic to kill us because that's all it is. And most of all, I mean, we got to come together as a people to God first. I mean, I know a lot of people don't want to hear it and they're like, you know, what God this and God what. You know, a lot of people don't believe, a lot of our people today, unfortunately, don't believe in God. But there is a superior being higher than all of us. And we got to bring this to the throne of God because David said, Lord, teach my hands to war. Now, I don't know if our brothers are afraid. I don't know if our sisters are afraid. I know for myself personally, it might be because I don't have access to certain things. If I did, I'd probably be out there first. But the thing is this, is that we have to say, God, if I'm afraid, then remove this fear from me, because that's what our people did before us. You had to have that one individual that said, you know what, I'm not afraid. That's where we have to get to that point, that we're not afraid. I mean, even when you're fighting, you might feel them butterflies in your belly or whatever, but you got to remove that, and you still go and you fight. And that's what we have to do today. We have to bring God first. We have to trust that when we are at war, that we put God first, that we will win. And that's the bottom line. We also have to understand that some of our people are going to die off. But we don't have to continue to sit back because self-preservation is way better than suicide. And right now, the way that we're going, we're actually committing suicide because if we continue to let them do that, like we had Troy Davis, everybody was sad, everybody was crying. But then after Troy Davis was Trayvon Martin. And after Trayvon Martin, it's Jordan, and it's going to be somebody else after that. It's going to keep happening, and they don't respect our rallies. They don't respect our protests. Because I have been at rallies, and I've been at protests when the police officers still came and yoked people up. So,
yep.
We got to forget about those things. We got to put those things to the side. And we got to bring prayer. And we got to bring war. That's the only way we're going to win this thing is through prayer and war. That's it. It ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Education also, because we have to be educated to know who our enemy is and how to fight. So, God, all I'm going to do, I'm gonna finish up because I know y'all got other calls on the line, but I would like to say a prayer. And my prayer is,
yes, ma'am. You can do a quick libation.
And my prayer is like this. Most High God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this phone call. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are on this line. I thank you for every Christian that's on this line. I thank you for every Muslim that's on this line. I thank you for our people as a whole that is on this line because they care for others besides themselves. God, I'm praying today that you stir up the war in the hearts of the people. I'm praying today that you cleanse our minds, our spirits, our hearts, that you bring us, God, to how you would have us to be. I pray right now, dear God, that you will bring up the spirit of Nat Turner today. I pray, God, that you will bring up the spirit of Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Huey Newton, and even more harder than that, God. Bring the force, Lord. We need your hand. We need you, God, to teach our hands to war today. We need you to remove the fear out of our spirits today. God, I pray right now, and I pray justice for that family. I pray, oh God, that that cracker that killed that baby, that he will get what he deserved. If it's the death chair law, then I ask that you will give him just that. But I pray today, God, that you are God, that you sit high and you look low, and you will be our battle axe, and you would send us out there to battle those that are meant to be on the front line, and we would not be afraid. And if we got to be a martyr for the cause of our people, then let it be. And if we got to take some heads, God, allow us to take as many heads as we can to deliver our people. Amen.
My goodness, Ashe, my, it sounded like she was saying,
Ashe,
it sounded like Sister Christy was saying, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. My goodness.
I mean, that's the kind of prayer we need.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. When Christy called up, I said, "Wait a minute, hold on. She sounds a little bit too calm." I said, "Hold on now." And there you go. Can she just, you know, that's the Christy I know in the prayer. That's the Christy I know. I said, "Okay, let's get to the thanks to the Christy for calling in. Let's get to the phone lines."
Love y'all, Black Power.
Oh, you still on? Okay, yes, ma'am. Love you too, Queen.
Black Power. Yeah, that's that Nat Turner prayer. Nat Turner read that Bible, got up, and start slitting some throats and killing some folks. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Area code 919-510-910-510. You're on the air. This is Black Power Radio. We're asking the question, is it open season on the young black male? Your host is Sean Farad. Of course, I'm Sean Kwalee. Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power.
Oh, yes, sir. Welcome back, Najee Muhammad.
Black Power.
Sean, how you doing?
Fine, sir. Welcome back to the show.
Black Power. Free the land.
Free the land.
I say action. I heard somebody say something about we need something like the new black, Liberation Army. I say to their brother, this is a resurrection of the new black Liberation Army. At that time, this is a new black Liberation Militia. And Dashaun was witness 2003. I think we were doing the fifth year in the merge. We was all in Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia. Traffic, bumper to bumper. White officers wanted everybody out the street. And then one point, Tony Malig and Dave Foreman, everybody came out the Hummer. And all of a sudden, I think they had the Eastern, somebody from Chicago hemmed up. And all of a sudden, the sergeant got out of a police car, and he wanted to grab the Nassau chairman, take him in. He came from that right corner and knocked this cracker out. See, everybody could talk about this cracker. Talk about warring with this white man. I don't talk. Dashaun's right there when I knocked this cracker out. Head on.
Oh, yeah.
On five crackers and literally beat them to the goddamn ground. And yes, we were going to wipe them off the earth. Yes, with that wrath of God, it could be done. But the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't talk. Speak of the head of your power. When you don't have the mouth to say, you don't have the power to do, shut your little black mouth. And this is why we be careful. Move with caution, plan with tactics. And Dr. Khaled Du Muhammad said when James Bass shot him, he told the judge, no, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. You did it. You messed his mind up. And the black on black killing and stuff, they're not doing it. It's been orchestrated to be done like that.
That's right.
Mysticide is a deliberate systematic destruction of a group's mind. And the ultimate objective is to extract that mind from Doc Whiteness, meaning European culture, ways, and characteristics producing anti-self-hatred, anti-self-destructive motive. Why? Because that young black male has a white supremacist mindset. But when the cracker kills us, shoots us,
a goddamn white man in the dome clone of our minds. They're going to take the freedom fight to deal with this mess. That's why we have, I even call on the new Black Panther Party. We got to get back to Dr. Collin and Aaron Michaels. They are maneuvering because this is death. And the brothers in Atlanta and Dawson, no, I land 5 arm maneuvers, 3 in Atlanta, Paris, Texas, and then the pick one in Augusta, Georgia. Black power, freedom
of
death, and I self-defense, young black male. It's time to stand up and kill that wheel. It's
Najee, we thank you for calling. Let's get to the next phone line. Najee, Muhammad always full of fire, the prince.
Always full of fire. Respect to you, brother Najee. And the new black militia and all those that's rolling. Nothing but love to you, black man. Stay strong. And all the Cubs out there and the students down there with Dr. Khalid Muhammad, like bro say, it's time to unite. Come off the bull. Let's unite. Let's go to another call here. Area code 310-867. 310-867. You're on live Black Power Radio. We're asking, is it open season on the young black male? Your host, Deshaun Farrar. What are your thoughts?
Peace, Black Power. This is Sister Akua.
Peace.
Hotep, ma'am. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I would say it's absolutely open season on our brothers, and it's because there's no consequence. You know what I mean? There's no consequence when one of these mutants kills one of our youth, which means it's okay. There's no consequence when one of our youth kills another youth. Now, when one of these mutants or one of these, you know, Caucasians somehow catch one, all hell break loose. You know what's going to happen, which means what? It means you don't do that. So if there's no consequence when we are killing each other or an outsider is killing one of our youth, you are saying it's okay to do so, which what was done, what, right, during the transition of the chain slavery to the economic slavery and mental slavery that we're now experiencing. It was okay to kill a nigga. It's still okay to kill a nigga. And until we create some kind of a situation where there's a consequence when this happens, it's going to continue to happen. Why not? Why wouldn't it happen? They are trying to exterminate us. It's not for play. They show us how serious they are when they let these people go or they just suspend some crooked-ass police officer instead of really taking action against them. They are showing us that it's okay. So we have to organize each other. We are the only ones that are going to have our best interests at heart. How are we going to look for somebody outside of us to have our best interest? We got to make it where it's again, a consequence and out of their best interest, we'll do something to our children. Like, you don't, I'm telling you, everyone knows what, you don't want to cross a black mama, right? Well, not in her company. You're not going to mess with one of my children in front of me. I don't care who you are. We all know that. That's universal. You do not fuck with a black woman's child. However, if I'm not there and my somewhere, it's open season on him. They don't care about my mouth after the fact, after they got what they want, after they laid him out. But we need to create a situation where they are petrified to do that. Like, oh, shit, hell is about to break loose. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? When a white girl scream rape, everyone's like, oh, my God, somebody's about to get it. And it's got to be the same type of systematic chain reaction when something happens to our youth. Got to be like, damn, we don't even know what to expect.
Like I said earlier, and I repeated a few times, once again, black life is seen as valueless.
Right, exactly. And that's even, it's even in-house. And the other thing
that
is,
that's what I'm saying. I said outside and inside the black community. I said it's seen as valueless. That's what I said in my article.
Right, that's exactly correct. I identify with that. Now, the other thing is this. During my grandmother's age, people who were doing things that were destructive to the neighborhood, to the community, were ostracized. So we need to bring that back. Now, of course, we need to change what the value system is, and it needs to be modern, but we can't keep seeing, you know what I mean, crimes happen against us, by us, and then not addressing it, not making people be accountable. You know what I'm saying? So we need
to
create a situation where we are holding each other accountable. You ostracized don't mean you murdered, don't mean we... You know what I'm saying? You're going to want to get back in the cypher. You're like, let me clean my shit up so I can get back in. Because I'm tired of getting these side-eye looks because I'm not taking care of my goddamn children. So let me take care of my children like a man's supposed to do. But we have let media create what a man's supposed to be. A man means you're going to bang on somebody who looks just like you. You're not going to let them disrespect you. Being a man means you're going to take disrespect in the workplace because you need to make sure you bring a check home. Being a man is having a lot of women. We have relinquished the rights to establish what maturity is and what our life purpose is supposed to be about. And then we complain about it, but we have to take that power back. We have to raise our boys into men according to our revolutionary standards. We need to raise warriors. We need to raise women who are worth courting and not these Nicki Minajs and whatnot. Or we don't have anything to complain about. We're playing right into it. We can't get hype on the telephone and hang up and let our children watch things that are going to further damage their psyche and play into this exact system that we're saying we're against. We have to keep this on the forefront of our mind at all times. How is this going to help my people? How can I better self for the all on a consistent basis? And how can I protect self and the rest of us? So we got to come together when a crime happens. Like, okay, what are we going to do about this? I mean, if they want to do their legal stuff and they can get justice, okay, so be it. But how are we going to enforce my eyes? We're going to make sure that, like, we don't know which way somebody might come up goddamn missing. We don't know what might happen after we mess with one of these black youth.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? We need to be unpredictable and we need to be effective. But, yeah, that's all I got to say.
Well, listen, Queen, we thank you for giving us a call. We hope to hear from you soon. Hear back from you soon. Brother Sean, before we go back to the phone line, I just wanted to say that in dealing with this situation regarding black men, Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu said over 25 years ago in all three of his volumes of the book titled Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys, he said that you are willing participants and unwilling participants of the conspiracy. And he said that sometimes, say, a single black mother raising a son, he said she may be an unwilling participant by teaching this black man how to be unaccountable, undisciplined, and irresponsible. And that's not at all to put the blame on black women, but he used that as an example, as well as our families in general.
Right. See, that's why I was saying about Willie Lynchism and making a slave, how Willie Lynch outlined that he would make the man mentally weak, but he'd be physically strong, and then put the black woman out front, and she'd have that mental capacity, and in his eyes, be physically weak. And to make that black man take a position somewhere in the back, like a punk and a coward, and that's what we have today. So that's why I say, is it really us doing it to ourselves? Got some more callers, black man.
Yes, let's get to the line and we wind it down. Go ahead, sir.
We coming down that stretch. We're gonna get as many of you all in here as we can. Area code 813-401. You're on the air live. This is Black Power Radio. Hot topic. Is it open season on the young black male? Talk to us, please. Black Power.
Brother Deshaun. Brother Sean, yes. Kwali. Greetings from Tampa, Florida. This is Sister Michelle Williams.
Oh,
I've
my
sat
goodness.
On this phone
great.
Call.
Great.
I've
great.
Sat on this phone call as long as I can without pressing that number one. You know, we already know the statistic numbers. When Brother King Shamir came out the gate this evening on this phone call, you know, the brother hit every he drove every nail into that 2x4. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of the gatekeepers because they are the weakest link to our black communities. And until we start emphasizing these gatekeepers in the black community on their pacifier pathological ways that they've done to us, that's who we have to hold accountable. Open season on the blacks, it's never stopped since the day they brought our ancestors over on them wooden planks, on them slave ships from Africa. The slavery has never ended. They've modernized it. They found clever ways to do it. They found clever ways to get around it. And we, as black people, we've done nothing but sat in the damn corner with the fucking dunce hat on, twiddling our damn thumbs while these crackers keep doing what the hell they're doing to our children. I'm a single mother of a beautiful son that just turned 18 years old, and I'll be damned
You hear me? I'll be damned if I let one of these crackers get a hold of my son and my son not see his queen of a mother fight for him.
Now,
and
Michelle, I must ask you. Sister Michelle, let me ask you this now. And I'm glad you called up because I was hoping for this. You being a black mother, raising a black son, if you would describe the stress of that situation, because I've spoken to black women, whether they were single black mothers or were married, raising black sons, and, you know, please describe. And I'm not at all asking you to be the spokesman for black women, but I'm quite sure what you're going to tell me is what most black women I've bumped into have told me. How was it raising a black son in America?
Let me tell you something. I've raised my son to let him know that he is a king. He has every right to the tree of life. He has every right to equality, fairness, his civil liberties, just like any other white child, Hispanic child, Jewish child, Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese. He has the right to the tree of life just like everyone else. My son was raised by and is being raised by a strong, grounded, rooted mother on a solid foundation when it comes to the civil liberties of the black community. I've taught my son, whenever you are speaking to a white man or a white woman, you look them square in the face. If they have extended their hand to you, you shake their hand firmly and you let them know that you are not playing with them. Don't you waver. Don't you bend and don't you shake when you know something, when you know you are right. Because you better believe as soon as a mustard seed, I'll put an army together.
Now, but I want to ask you, Michelle, if you would, though, the stress, have you been under any stress raising your son?
Of course I have. Of course, the stress is in the school system because the way they target our young boys, it's like right now when our young kids, when they get in the fifth grade, it's like they automatically become a target to be placed and shuffled and pipelined right to the juvenile justice department. You know, it's remained stressful where I've constantly had to, you know, stress myself out stretching bills because I need to make sure that at all times my son got a cell phone so if he's in trouble, you know what I'm saying, he can make that 911 phone call, you know what I'm saying, for help to his mama so I can get the help that he needs. It's stressful that I got to teach my son when you walk down the street, son, you know what I'm saying, you know, if this come up against you at all costs, you know what I'm saying, if you have to defend yourself, that's what you do. My son just turned 18 years old, and guess what he got for his birthday? He got a gun, and he got a damn gun license. Because, see, I have to raise my son just like these white women are raising Johnny and Peter and Billy. You know what I'm saying? You come home and you call me first. Don't you go call no police because, see, white women and white men, they teach their children. You come home to mama first. That's why that white man felt so damn comfortable killing this damn baby, you know what I'm saying, up in Jacksonville, because this cracker went for what he knew. He went for the history that his race has taught him, that when you get in trouble, you flee until you go get the legal help that you did. So that's why that white man felt comfortable going back to that hotel, packing his shit up and leaving and going to get his legal counsel together. And the most sorriest thing that she can say, you know, his legal representation is a white female, oh, he's gonna invoke the stand your ground law. You know what I'm saying? Well, here it is. We just had a 71-year-old man, where a 71-year-old black man just got sentenced to a prison system.
Because he
killed this white man. You know what I'm saying? The white man that lunged at him with a skateboard. This young white man had younger years on this older black man. The black man is 71 years old. You know what I'm saying? I know the black man had like 40-something years on him, but he lunges at him with a skateboard, and he defends himself, and he goes, and the little white girl, the white child say, no, this black man defended himself. My dad started that fight with him. But no, you know, because, you know, white people feel so comfortable. They feel so comfortable for the injustice that they continue to hand it down to the black race because we've done nothing but keep the damn pacifier in our mouth. We refuse to organize. We refuse to become united. We so worried about who's going to be the Indian that all the little worker bees worried about who's going to be the chief and who's going to get paid what that we can't even get organized.
Michelle,
Brother Deshaun,
I must interject, and I just wanted to say if Bill O'Reilly of Fox News is listening, which I'm sure they are, make sure you quote Sister Michelle exactly as she said, and please don't add any sound bites. Make sure you play a whole piece, because we understand that you all have this hidden love affair, or this desire to have a love affair with Michelle, since every other week you all are quoting her. Make sure you quote
Brother
her exactly.
Deshaun. Brother Deshaun, please give me this respect. Please give
yes,
me
ma'am.
This. I say this to Rush Limbaugh,
yes,
to
ma'am.
Bill
Go ahead.
O'Reilly, to Fox News, to Sean Hannity. Let me tell you something. I pray to God that each of you, being my adversaries, that you be clothed in shame and that your bowels be filled with water and your bones with oil. Now take that to the bank, cracker.
My, thank you for your call, Michelle. Sean, we got any more calls?
Yes, sir. We got callers. We got callers.
First of all, how many more minutes we got, Brother Sean? How many more minutes we got?
We got some seconds in the live stream. We'll lose the live stream, but the callers will be on live with us. Those who are on by phone, you'll still be on with us, and so we can run through these calls.
Okay, what we're going to do is let's take a few more calls, because I understand. I think you and I have another assignment on another phone call.
No doubt about it. We can stay
I believe.
Busy.
Okay, yes, sir. So let's take this other call.
All right. Area code 347-727. Area code 347-727. Thank you for being with us. This is Black Power Radio. Your host, Deshaun Farrar. This is Sean Kwali. Is it open season on the Young Black Male? Talk to us.
Black Powers, brother.
Yes,
Black
sir.
Black Power.
Oh, man, it was a great show. I'm glad to see everybody fired up, man. And one thing that I see for sure.
Oh, Brother Shaw again? This Brother Shaw again?
This Brother Shaw, yes. Brother Shaw
yes,
from
sir.
Queens.
Yes, sir.
As I was saying, man, I'm glad to see all the brothers and sisters fired up. Unfortunately, it takes another one of these events, one of these misfortune events, to get people fired up. But let us not forget. Let us not forgive. Let us organize. Let us keep to the streets. And like Malcolm X said, let us do everything by any means necessary to stop this scourge on our people, man. Let's all stand together. Let's all fight back, man. We know what
thanks.
We face.
And I just wanted to say, Sean, in the few seconds that we have remaining on the live stream, thank you for joining Black Power Radio. I'm Dashaun Farad. Guest hosting in place of Brother Sean Kwali, who's also been co-hosting as well. We hope that you tune in same black time, same black channel. Brother Sean, let's get to the rest of the phone calls.
All right. Area code 334-505. 334-505. Your call, please. You're on live. Black Power Radio. Your host, Deshaun Farrar, is an open season on the Young Black Male. Black Power.
Black Power, and my question is the same as Sister Michelle. I don't know when it ever stops. You understand? And so, yes, sir, it is. It continues to be open season, and I'm just waiting to see when we're going to be open seasoning on our enemy instead of each other, you know. And I hear the sentiments of Brother Silky Slim when he says, you know, people may see us as hypocrites. But I look at it like this because, you know, as one of those people who's out there, you know, trying to stop the black-on-black crime as well as trying to stop the white onslaught and everything, you kind of have to look at it with kind of like a mother's approach. You know, Brother Deshaun, I hear you asking the mothers, you know, how they feel as being mothers of black men in America.
Absolutely.
But I think about this whole problem with the mother's approach. You know, if your child has three things that's wrong with it, you're not going to just stop at one specialist. If you need to see three specialists, then I'm about willing to say every mother's going to make sure they take their child to all three of those doctors that they need to see. And in order for us to address these issues that are attacking our black community, you're going to have to address them all. You're going to have to address the stop the black-on-black violence. You're going to have
Absolutely.
To address the stop this white-on-black violence. You're going to have to address the stop the black-on-black hatred amongst the black liberation organizations. You have to do all of that, you know. So I just want to put that in there. We have to take the mother's approach to this or the parenting approach to this because I don't want to see mother-specific, the parenting approach. No father worth his salt would allow his child to need to go to three different doctors and only stop at one because they would want to see all of the issues addressed. My question is, what are we waiting for? And I hear the sister say, hey, we waiting to organize. What are we waiting for? Like I said, we tired of talking. A lot of us, we didn't have this conversation. 14 incidents, too many. You understand? So what are we going to do? You know, like they said, we cannot be allowed to be delusioned to think that it's just us. You know, if y'all seen Brother Sookie Slim's film to Live and Die in America, it's when Dick Gregory says, you know, if you go into Chinatown today, who's killing the Chinamen? The Chinamen. You go to Italy, who's killing the Italians? The Italians.
Yeah, that's why I said that it's not just black folk who engage in self-genocide. You know, whoever you live around the most, that is who's most likely going to harm you. It's not necessarily the fact that black folk are just so evil and we're so bad that, oh, well, we're the only ones killing each other. No, it's just that we're doing it for slightly different reasons, you know, out of self-hatred, but it's not necessarily because we're doing it just because we're black. So you're absolutely right.
Yes, and I want to say this. What makes this a black issue is this. If you were to look and you were to research how many whites were killed by the police this year, you're going to be lucky if you come up with one.
Talk
if you
about
look
it.
Killed in the last 10 years by police officers, you're going to be lucky if you come up with any on your first hand, you see. And so but the thing is not who is going to put pressure on. What are we, as people who stand for black liberation, what are we doing? You know, we got a platform. It's just as simple as it being worked and it being done, and stop waiting on the CBC and the Hispanic Y2C and everybody else. You know, what are we going to do? What are we doing? And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to slide to the side for the other people. In order for us to get looked at like others, we will not get the respect that we need to get the results that we need to get until there's a couple, and it's unfortunately in America that is the way that it goes, and it's going to hold true with this statement. It's money, power, and respect. And in this case, it's money, i.e. reparations, our land, and some straightening. Because you can't, if we keep talking about we're going to go to the United Nations and you're going to go to these people and that people, but until we haven't even gotten our first straightening off of these folks, and that's why they don't respect us. Because meanwhile, the Chinese, the Japanese done come over here, got mistreated, got their reparations, and got some respect. But we can't even get the brother on the street to understand why we need these reparations. And until we got some money where we can really put it into the hands of these people that will help us litigate like we need to have litigation, till we get this land, we don't even have the bargaining power that we need. Why? Because we, even amongst ourselves, in our black liberation organization, cannot even see eye to eye with the fact that we got to take the baby to all the doctors. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Thank you, Queen, for your call.
Black Power, I love all of y'all.
We love you,
black
too.
Black Power,
thanks for the insight. Thanks for the wisdom.
Next caller here, we'll slide down. We got a few more here.
Yes, sir.
757-468-757-468. You're on live with your host, Deshaun Farad. Black Power Radio. Is it open season on the young black male? Tell us.
Wow,
Black
VA is lighting it up tonight. Go ahead.
Well, yes, we do know the answer is yes to that. You know, one of the things we have to remember when we talk about the police is the origins of the police. Before police were police in this country, they were slave patrollers. And that, you know, goes back to way before the war against the British. It was in the 1700s. They had slave patrols. The first drafts in America were drafts to be, you know, a slave patroller. And it wasn't just poor white trash that were slave patrollers. They were also, it was mandatory that everybody participated in slave patrols. Today we call them patrol officers. Back then they were slave patrols, and now we call them patrol. Patrol cars, patrol men, patrol officers. But again, it goes back to the time. In the north, in the northern colonies, before this was states, they were called night watch, and in the south they were called patrollers. You know, so it, the things with cops, and if you read the history, and there's a book called Slave Patrols, Law and Violence in Virginia and in the Carolinas, written by Sally E. Hayden. If you read that book, she has, you know, documentation after documentation from, you know, southern states. And one of the things was a slave patroller was what? He would check as you're walking from your plantation, your master who had 10 slaves and you were going to work for somebody else for the day, the master told you to go work for somebody else. He gave you a piece of paper, so basically a hall pass, like we went in school, and the slave patrols would stop you on the road and say, where's your pass? Where's your ticket? Today, cops use the word, you know, they give you a ticket for speeding, or they give you a ticket for some kind of traffic violation. Back then, they would ask you for your ticket, and that was a word they used, or your pass, or your papers. And again, their job was to stop you, check you, and if they needed to beat you, they could. If they needed to maim you, they could. If they needed to kill you, they could.
Sounds very familiar.
Exactly. And that's the point. Nothing has changed other than the calendar date.
So you're actually now, sir, so you're actually then, you're sharing the sentiment from some of our other callers, but other people who have said that this thing is a centuries-old practice.
Yes. Yes. There's nothing changed in America other than the calendar date. That's the bottom line. There's nothing changed in America but the calendar date. What happens, again, it's not a Mississippi thing. It's not a South-Southern thing. It happens in New York. It happens in California. It happens in the Midwest. All these, you know, if you're black, brown, or red, red meaning Native Americans, you know, brown meaning Latinos, which are, you know, quote-unquote, you know, misquoting, you know, Indians that speak Spanish.
That's right. You talk know, about it. That's right. I said the same thing. That's right.
Exactly. The bottom line is you're mistreated. You know, Latinos in L.A., I was in the military at one time, you know, they got stopped on the street at 14, 15-year-old children, black, brown, or yellow, and this is what I saw. If you were black, brown, or yellow, 14, 15 years old, three or four deep, walking down the street, the police car would pull over, and before the cop got out of the car, he didn't use his bullhorn or his speakers, and those children, black, brown, or yellow, were assuming the position. In psychology, that's called Pavlov's dog or conditioned response. They know what to do when the police car pulls over. The cop didn't have to say a word. If there was a wall, they leaned up against it, you know, a building. If there was a fence, they leaned up against it. If it was no building or fence, they leaned up against the hood of the police car. The police officer got out of his car. He checked them, you know, make sure they didn't have any guns, weapons, and then he got back in his car and drove away, and those children walked down the street. I've seen four or five white kids, roughly the same age, 14 to 16-year-olds, and this is back in I was in Long Beach, California, which is part of L.A., back in 84 to 86. And
wow.
I seen white children, roughly the same age, walking down the street. A police car zoomed by. And I'm talking about a police car, black and white with the lights on, you know, red and white lights on top. And I never did it, but I should have. And I don't really need to because I already know what the answer would have been. If I would ran across the street and asked those little white kids, you know, hey, did you see that police car? They would have said, what are you talking about? Because it's not part of their conditioning. You know, those black children, those Latino children, those Asian children, they know what to do when a police car stops them. So nothing has changed. And those rules about slave patrols, those patrollers didn't just stop blacks. They also, their job was to stop any natives that were still in that area. You know, so
well, listen up. We thank you for the insight. We thank you for the wisdom. And we hope that our listeners will go out and get that book.
Again, you know, I use the public library, and that's where I got it from. I'm here in Virginia, and I went to the local public library where I looked it up to see if they had it. They had it. I checked it out. I read the book. I made my little notes, and then I send it back. Hopefully somebody else will read the book.
We thank you very much.
Right,
have a good night. Thanks for tuning in.
You're welcome.
Sean, let's get to our last two calls.
Yes, sir. We'll get two more in. And thank you so much, Carla, for your comments and that
excellent
insight
wisdom.
And wisdom. Area code 661-748, 661-748, you're on live. We're asking the question, is it open season on the Young Black Male? Your host is Brother Deshaun Farad. Talk to us. This is Black Power Radio.
Hallelujah. What's happening, Sean?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Deshaun? This is Dennis C. Latham.
Oh, Dennis, how you doing? Yes, sir. Dennis said he'd be tuning in. How you doing, Dennis? Yes, sir. Briefly, because we got to wind down.
Real quick, I got three quick points. First is loving each other as a group. If we loved each other, we wouldn't rip each other off. If we loved each other, we would not. We would go with the best idea and not who gives the idea. And if we loved each other, we wouldn't sell drugs and rape each other. We got to teach each other to love each other, and the head and top leaders, preachers, and teachers of blacks in America are not doing that. And we need to come together and remove those out of those positions. Number two, the schools. The majority of the school should come together and call the shots for that school. If you want you a good school run like a private school, then you need to come together and stop having all of this crime and stuff in it, all this type. And the last point is media. If you're not satisfied with how you represent in the mainstream media today, then you need to get up off your butt and make your own mainstream media. And having a channel, a network, or a station, it takes more determination than it does money. We've been around long enough. We should have been had our own television stations and networks. BET, Centric, Bounce, all of that stuff, even TV1, don't do nothing but pump out negative. We need something that's going to pump out positive. And that's it. Hallelujah.
Dennis, that's right. We appreciate it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you for tuning in. Next caller, and that's going to be our final call. Next call is our final call.
All right. Yes, sir. Area code 562-462. 562-462. You're on live Black Power Radio. The question of the night, is it open season on the Young Black Male? Talk to us.
How you guys doing? How you brothers doing tonight? Listening in very intently. One of my brothers had told me about your show, and when I got on, I said, "Oh my God, I done walked into a firestorm." But yes. It begs the question. The answer is the question: Are we at war, and are we getting killed wholesale? And the answer is yes. Now, what can we do about this situation? It's very simple in a way. What we need to do is utilize our resources. Now, what resources do we have? We need to utilize the resources of togetherness and also our mindsets. We have the brain capacity to fix our own situation. We just choose not to. Not all of us, but a wide majority of us. We're very scattered people. We sit on Facebook, we sit on Twitter, we sit on all these other websites being monitored by the people who we complaining about trying to get together. Obviously, they're
That's
not
right.
wanting us to do this.
Might be
so
booked.
What we need to do is rally back to our black websites, be there wherever they are, and use those as a vehicle to build our own communities. Obviously, we don't have that many realistic or real communities out there, but we need to use our virtual communities in order to start the basis of what we can do to build our own realistic communities. Now, me, myself, I created a black website just for such a time as this. OurTimeNow.com is not only a website, it's also a movement. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of websites out there that do different things, but they're not doing, I guess, what we're doing. What we're trying to do is do what you guys are saying that we need to do, which is come together and, work together to save ourselves. Nobody's going to be out here to save us. We're not waiting on a sky daddy. We shouldn't be waiting on a sky daddy. We shouldn't be waiting on a white man to come help us. They're not going to save us. All these leaders that we have out here are not going to help us because they are getting their, 10, 11 pieces of silver to just watch us and keep us, quote unquote, calm. The time for calm is over. We need to start working to, get ourselves financially together to where we can own something, where we can control our own, our own communities. Once we build them, I mean, if you look at the situation that we have in America now, homosexuals have passed black people up as far as being a respectable group. The president even talks about them. With black people, he looks like he's about to have a stroke. So that tells you what side of the bread his allegiance is buttered on. So we need to basically make him or make whoever's in power pay attention to us. And the only way we're going to do that is by starting up our own and building our own political basis. NAACP, the Urban League, and all these other groups are not out there willing to help us anymore. You know, they've moved on to other things. I guess they thought the war was over when Obama got elected. But it's not over, and until we have a wider base, a group of black people that are actually going to be awake at the wheel wanting to build something for ourselves, we're never going to get anywhere.
We thank you for the call. We hope that you tune in soon, and That's our show for tonight. Those of you, thank you for tuning in once again. We thank you for sticking around after the live stream broadcast went off. I'm Dashaun Farad and Brother Sean. I'm sure you want to do a closeout.
Oh, well, definitely, brothers and sisters, definitely. We're gonna pick this show topic up again and many others. And again, we thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, it can help us in this effort because we have to unite. That's the common theme and thread over the whole night, is that we are disunited and we're disjointed. So let's join together and let's organize and let's help the New Black Panther Party. Let's help the Black Militia. Let's help everybody who called in the Uhuru Movement. Let's help any Black organization out there. But let's definitely help our big brother, Dr. Malik Solution-Baz, who's making all this possible, Black Power Radio, to organize and push forward. And we ask that you email us for your comments, your concerns, your questions, or your unity at nbpphq@yahoo.com, nbpphq@yahoo.com. Let's build a force. Let's build a real force in America that can solve our issues, because obviously from this call tonight, the answers in our own heads, we're just disconnected. Black Power.
Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. Then right there, it castrates you. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up.